Now, here's the voice of the Red Devils, Sam Knoll.
Welcome into another edition of Red Devil Game Day here on today's Best Country 101.1 KFNF as we get you set for tonight's matchup between the Oberlin Red Devils and the Wallace County Wildcats. It's a beautiful week in Oberlin, homecoming this week. There's been tons of different activities going on, obviously with a parade and the floats and everything like that, but can the Red Devils kind of tune all of that out and focus on the Wildcats tonight? We will see coming up here for you in just a few minutes. Coming up in this edition of Red Devil Game Day, we'll talk a little more about last week's tough loss to the Dighton Hornets, as well as preview what we're going to see out of the Wallace County Wildcats tonight. Plus, we sit down with head coach Brandon Hardwick, and we get scores from last week and upcoming matchups this week around the state of Kansas in 8-man Division One. It's a jam-packed Red Devil Game Day, and I cannot wait. Let's flip it back to last week here for the Oberlin Red Devils. It was a tough, heartbreaking loss to the Dighton Hornets by a final score of 44-40. Take you through your scoring summary from last week. It was Oberlin getting on top first with 7:43 to go in the first quarter of play. Josiah Pattengall would make one cut and run it 64 yards on the first play from scrimmage for the Red Devils to take it to the house. Oberlin, after a non-successful two-point conversion, would be in the lead 6-0. Oberlin then on the ensuing kickoff would kick it to Dighton, who would have a tough time picking up the football, and it's a live football on the kickoff. Oberlin scooped it up, and they got the ball at the 14-yard line. A couple of plays later, they were in for their second touchdown of the first quarter with a Josiah Pattengall one-yard touchdown run. He would also run in the two-point conversion, and the Red Devils would come smack Dighton in the mouth right away to start, being up 14-0. But then it was Dighton's turn to go on a scoring run as they would score the next four consecutive touchdowns. Starting in the first quarter with 2:54 to go, Daniel Kramer would hit Connor Wilson on a 20-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion from Rylan Price would be good, and it was 14-8. Then it was quickly tied up just a few minutes later with 9:28 to go. Daniel Kramer would throw a second touchdown pass of the night to Connor Wilson again from 5 yards out. The two-point conversion this time from Kramer would be no good, and we'd be knotted up at 14 apiece. Then the Hornets would get the ball back, and it was 7 minutes and 40 seconds to go. Kramer would run it in from 1 yard out. The two-point conversion from the Von Linrod to Kramer pass would be good. And Dighton, just as quickly as they got down 14-0, would score three times and take the lead 22-14. They would extend their lead with a nice 2-minute drive in the second quarter with 1:09 to go. They would get in with a Kramer to George Von Linrod 26-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion run from Kramer would be no good, though, and it would be 28-14. Oberlin would get the ball back with 1:09. They would drive down the field, and with their backs kind of up against the wall, close to their own end zone from about 20 yards out, Gage Willoughby would throw up a prayer into the end zone, and Tyler Osmeyer, using all 6 foot whatever of him, would be able to come down with the football and a 19-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion run from Pattengall would be no good, and we would head to the locker rooms 28-20, Dighton in front. After a high-scoring first and second quarter where we saw 48 points between each teams, each team would be scoreless through the third as Oberlin would just have a couple of drives. Same with Dighton, but each team would kind of have some turnovers as well as some four and outs as we made our way into the fourth quarter. Oberlin would finally break the non-scoring action and tie the game up on a Josiah Pattengall 17-yard touchdown run with 10:03 to go in the fourth quarter. Willoughby's two-point conversion run would be good, and we'd be knotted up at 28 apiece. Then the Red Devils, after getting a huge couple of stops in the red zone, would hand the ball off to the trusty Josiah Pattengall, who would run it in for another touchdown. This just his fourth of the evening with 6:14 to go from 55 yards out, and the Red Devils would have a 34-28 lead. They kick the ball back to the Hornets, would drive down, get into Red Devil territory again inside the 25-yard line. But once again, the Red Devils would force him to go four and out. Josiah Pattengall, a couple of plays later, would be into the end zone once again for his fifth touchdown of the night from 43 yards out. The two-point conversion run from Gage Willoughby would be no good, and it would be 40-28 with 4:29 to go. And that's when Dighton would really run down, scoring in under a minute, using a little bit of their passing offense to their advantage as Daniel Kramer would run it into one from 1 yard out. Two-point conversion on the Kramer to Wilson pass would be good, and it would be 40-36 with 3:43 to go. Oberlin would force Dighton to use most of their timeouts over the next couple of minutes, and then with just a few minutes left in the contest, Josiah Patton Gall would make his run out to the left, but would end up fumbling the ball. Dighton picked it up. A couple of plays later, they were into the end zone on a Ryland Price 4-yard touchdown run to put the Hornets in front 44-40 after a two-point conversion run from Kramer. Would it be good? Oberlin, with a minute and 15 seconds left, would drive their way down the field using the run more than the pass and would work to their advantage. And Brandon Hardwick would just barely get a timeout with 2.7 seconds to go. Set up the perfect play, and Caden Sowers just missed a perfectly thrown ball from Gage Willoughby. It was just maybe, if anything, that would make it unperfect. It was just maybe a hair too long as Sowers dove right on the goal line, but it would just go over the outstretched fingers of Sowers, and the game would come to an end as the Hornets would get the win 44-40. The Red Devils last week offensively had one of their best weeks in recent memory, as the Red Devils would put up a great, outstanding number of 392 total yards, 33 through the air, and 359 on the ground. But they would also have three turnovers, two picks, and a fumble, the fumble being kind of the costly turnover there down the stretch. Last week, Gage Willoughby had a good day throwing. He had all 33 of those passing yards. Did have that touchdown to a pick, was 2 of 7. For now, he is now 3 of 8 on the season for 37 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Did have 5 carries last week for 30 yards to rack up his total to now 8 carries, 56 yards, and a touchdown. So Gage, in his first year really behind center, is looking pretty good. I know he just handed it off a lot last week to Josiah Patengold, who we'll talk about in a second, but it seemed like anytime he'd get to third or fourth down and they needed a throw, Gage would step up big for the Red Devils. Josiah Patengold last week had one of the best weeks in Oberlin Red Devil football history, as Patengold finished the day with 35 carries, 342 yards, and 5 touchdowns. To take his season total to 41 carries, 404 yards, and 7 touchdowns. He's now averaging 202 yards per game and 9.9 yards per carry, which is how Josiah Patengold wants it and how Brandon Hardwick wants it as well. Patengold did throw 4 passes last week, just accumulating to 1 yard. Did throw a pick as well last week. Caden Sowers wasn't used as much as he did in the Greeley County game, but still did make some big receptions, some big catches as well for the Red Devils. Sowers last week, 6 carries for 17 yards. Now has 14 carries for 37 yards and 2 touchdowns total on the season. Did have a reception and went for no yards, though, last week. So he's got 2 receptions for 4 yards on the season. Tyler Ostmeyer finally put his name on the stat sheet after having no receptions against Greeley County in the first game of the season. Tyler would have 2 receptions last week for 33 yards and a touchdown. He now averages 16 yards per game. Look for him to be another big target for the Red Devils. The Red Devils, besides on offense, put up one of their best nights on defense as well. As the Red Devils, yes, they did give up a lot of yards, 424 total to the Hornets, 214 through the air and 210 on the ground. But when the Red Devils needed a stop, the Red Devil defense was able to get it, especially in the second half, as they would allow just 2 touchdowns to the Dighton Hornets in the second half of the game after allowing 4 straight there in the between the first and the second quarter. They would hold them scoreless in the third, and then Dighton would only score over the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter of play. So it was a long run that the Oberlin Red Devils were able to come up with some stops, and they'd certainly like to have that again this week. Oberlin last week was really led by their defensive line. Garrett Emick, Gus Emick, and Tyler Ostmeyer had each of their best, really, nights of their career. Garrett Emick with 13 tackles, 7 for solo and a tackle for loss. Gus Emick had 5 tackles, just 1 solo but 4 assists. And Tyler Ostmeyer had 6 tackles as well, 5 solos and a tackle for loss. The linebacker core for the Red Devils each had double-digit tackles. Rustin Bailey with 15 tackles himself, 8 of which were solos. Josiah Patengold, 15 tackles, 12 solos and an interception. Caden Sowers, 12 tackles, 7 solos, and a tackle for loss. And then the DBs for the Red Devils between Gage Willoughby and Talon Savage had a pretty good night as well, with 14 tackles between each of them. So the Oberlin Red Devils looking to kind of improve off of that from last year, as they have now had scored 90 points through two games, which is the most since 2003, when the 2003 team put up 91 points in two games. And speaking of the defense, they've only given up 44 points through two games. That's the lowest since 2021, when they gave up just 30 points. The last time they scored 40 or more in three straight games, it came in 2019. So the Red Devils really flipping the script after a tough couple of years for Coach Hardwick and his squad, and they'll try to continue to flip that script tonight, taking on the Wallace County Wildcats. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with Red Devil Game Day and our scoreboard show, where we take a look back at all the scores from last week around the state, as well as all the upcoming matchups this week. That's coming up next right here on Red Devil Game Day.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Say no to bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services. Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation. Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty. For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533. AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
With the right touch, bent metal, shattered glass, and twisted frames can be restored to their original glory. At Creative Collision, they have one simple mantra: repair, restore, renew. It's about taking damaged vehicles and transforming them into something sleek, smooth, and safe. Comprehensive auto body repair and restoration. Available exclusively at Creative Collision in Oberlin, Kansas. Revive it, drive it, and love it. Call for an estimate at 785-470-2130 or visit Creative Collision's virtual garage online at creativecollisionoberlin.com.
When you think of Decatur Co-op, do you think about grain? Feed your livestock, horses or pets, propane, supplies? How about tires? Yes, Decatur Co-op in Oberlin has a tire shop that specializes in tire repair, along with oil changes, exhaust, front-end alignment, and major mechanical work. Bet you didn't know all that. Well, now you know. And the next time you need any of those services, think of Decatur Co-op at the railroad tracks in Oberlin. Book your appointment. Call 785-475-2234.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high-moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn, anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
It's time to take a look back at the scores from last week and who's playing who this week. This is a scoreboard update on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Red Devil Game Day continues here on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF. Time now for our scoreboard update, where we take a look back at all the scores from last week around the state in 8-man Division 1, as well as a few area teams, and take a look at all the matchups in the Week 3 slate. Kind of the final week for most of these teams before we start district action across the state. And man, oh man, I think a lot of them are ready for it. Let's take a look at scores from last week. We'll start in District 8, the district that Oberlin is in this year. It was number 9, Hill City, at home taking on Ellis. And in their first year of 8-man football, Ellis has had two high-scoring games now, as they took down Lincoln in week number 1 in a back-and-forth battle between the Railroaders and the Leopards, as Ellis got the win 48-44. This time they take down Hill City on the road in double overtime, 54-48. Hoxie goes on the is back at home after their road win in week number 1. Week 2, they get the win over the Trigo Golden Eagles 50-0. It was over at halftime. Hoxie keeps that number 1 number right next to their name. St. Francis all over Wheatland Grinnell 54-6. Rollins County downs Greeley County 64-0. Lakeside all over Stockton, 46-0. And Dighton, once again, taking down your Red Devils, 44-0. We'll go through district by district, giving you final scores from last week. Cedar Valdexter takes down Flint Hills by a final score of 53-6. West Elk all over Oxford, 52-38. Argonia Attica all over Central Burton, 46-0. Colony Crest over Northeast Arma, 46-0. Oswego over St. Paul, 53-8. Sedan over Udall, 60-12. In District 2, Flint Hills loses to Cedar Valdexter, 53-6. It was number 8 Linden, the defending state champs, looking to continue that win streak that was sitting at 14 games. Well, that's where it'll come to an end as Frankfort takes down Linden by a final score of 72-22. Chase County over Wichita Independent, 70-14. Madison over Hartford, 46-0. Lebo over Northern Heights, 54-8. And Marmaton Valley over Yates Center, 72-8. In District 3, Hutchinson Central Christian all over Canton Galva, 48-0. Central Plains upset by Victoria, 62-12 on the road. Little River all over Rural Vista at home, 58-12. El Saline takes down Osborne, 38-20. Gosselle takes down Center Law Springs, 56-8. Wakefield over Solomon, 38-28. To round out the district matchups there in District 3. In District 4, Rock Hills takes down Thunder Ridge, 66-16. Thunder Ridge off to an 0-2 start, which is kind of surprising for a traditional powerhouse in 8-man football. Sylvan Lucas all over Beloit St. John's Tipton, 56-8. Hanover downs Clifton Clyde, 50-0. Lakeside takes down Stockton, 46-0. Lincoln over Pike Valley, 64-12. And Axtell over Washington County, 70-0. In District 5, did have one score from Thursday last week. It was South Central taking on Ashland, 50-0. West Elk all over Oxford, 52-38. Buckland over Kiowa County, 56-16. Fairfield over Pratt Skyline, 30-12. Sedan over Udall, 60-12. Chase County over Wichita Independent, 70-14. In District 6, Maxville takes down Kinsley, 20-16. Sublette over Deerfield, 48-0. Deerfield, two games, no scores. Tough way to start for them. Wichita County, 66. Elkhart, 0. Ojemin County, 46-0 over Meade. Spearville takes down loses to Mineola, 30-26. In District 7, as you know, Ellis takes down Hill City in double overtime, 54-48. Logan Palco over La Crosse, 62-34. Wichita County over Elkhart, 66-0. Ness City over St. John in a high-scoring battle, 54-40. Wallace County over Quinner, 48-0. Wallace County, as you know, tonight's opponent for the Red Devils. Hoxie takes down Trigo, 50-0. Other area games from last week, kind of around the area, involving some area teams. Colby travels to Holyoke, Colorado, and gets the win, 27-21. Norton and Hayes TMP, who were close at half, it was just 13-7, but Norton would pull away in the second half to get the win, 47-22. Russell over Oakley, 35-0. Ingalls over Golden Plains, 52-21. And Shylin, their win streak comes to a close as they lose to Idalia, Colorado, 77-19. Taking a look at your week 3 slate across the state of Kansas, kind of the final of slates of games throughout the districts this week that don't involve, you know, district opponents all the way around anyway. So kind of your last non-district opponents that'll be taking on each other this week. We'll start in District 8, the district that Oberlin is competing in this year. Hoxie is on the road taking on Ellis. Both of those teams 2-0. Ellis 2-0 after two high-scoring games. See if they can continue that again tonight. St. Francis is on the road taking on Greeley County. Rollins County on the road taking on Trigo. Stockton is on the road taking on Sylvan Lucas. Hill City on the road taking on Thunder Ridge. And Wallace County on the road taking on Oberlin. So besides Oberlin, all of the district opponents tonight that Oberlin will face in the district, all on the road. Very interesting there. Start across the state, we'll start in District 1, where Cedar Valdexter is on the road taking on Argonia Attica. Udall on the road taking on West Elk. Oswego on the road taking on Colony Crest. Flint Hills on the road taking on Sedan. Central Burton on the road taking on Oxford. Marmaton Valley is on the road taking on Northeast Arma. In District 2, Axtell is on the road taking on Chase County. Flint Hills is on the road taking on Sedan. Linden, looking to rebound after a tough loss last week, is on the road taking on Wichita Independent. Madison is on the road taking on Burlingame. Northern Heights on the road taking on Hartford. And St. Paul is on the road taking on Yates Center. Taking you into District 3, Little River is on the road taking on Center Lost Springs. Canton Galva is on the road taking on Wakefield. La Crosse is on the road taking on Central Plains. Gosselle is hosting Rural Vista. Solomon hosting Frankfort. They're in District 3 and actually do have one final score there to pass along that came from Thursday between Norwich and El Saline. They're in District number 3. El Saline, who is coming off of that big win last week against Osborne, they take down Norwich by a final score of 52-6. So El Saline gets the win there. They are now 2-1 on the season and have back-to-back wins. In District 4, Rock Hills, who is out to a 2-0 start, is on the road taking on Pike Valley. Stockton on the road meeting up with Sylvan Lucas. Lakeside on the road taking on Logan Palco. It's a game to really watch out for. Beloit St. John's Tipton on the road taking on Lincoln. Lynn is on the road taking on Clifton Clyde. Hanover on the road taking on Washington County. In District 5, Laverne, Oklahoma is on the road taking on South Central. Central Burton on the road taking on Oxford. Kiowa County is on the road taking on Ashland, who is off to a tough start after being called up from six-man. Pretty Prairie is on the road taking on Pratt Skyline. Udall on the road taking on West Elk. And Linden on the road taking on Wichita Independent. In District 6, Sublette, off to a great start at 2-0 on the year, is on the road taking on Buckland. Kinsley is on the road taking on St. John's after their close loss to Maxville last week. Springfield, Colorado is on the road taking on Elkhart. Satanta on the road taking on Meade. Spearville at home taking on Hodgeman County. And South Gray is at home taking on Mineola. In District 7, Hoxie is on the road taking on Ellis. Wichita County is on bye this week after their win last week over Elkhart. Central Plains is at home taking on La Crosse. Ness City hosts Maxville. Quinter travels to Dighton. And Rawlins County travels to Trago. Other games around the area for some of the area teams. Colby is at home taking on Cimarron. Norton hosting Smith Center in a rivalry there. Should be a good one. And another rivalry between Goodland and Oakley. Oakley is at home there. Shylin visits Ingalls, who just beat Golden Plains last week. And Golden Plains is on the road taking on Wheatland Grinnell. So that's a look at the slates around the state of Kansas, as well as some scores from last week. Do have college football action going on tonight as the Nebraska Cornhuskers are meeting up with the Illinois Fighting Illini tonight. Coverage starts at 7 o'clock. You can watch the game over on Fox. So tough that the Huskers got to play on the same night as the Red Devils. But we'll always cover the Red Devils as well as the Huskers looking for a big win tonight over the Fighting Illini. Kansas State is on the road coming up this weekend when they will meet up with BYU. You can see all the action going on ESPN with coverage starting at 9:30 between the Wildcats and BYU. BYU 3-0, and it's not easy to play at BYU there in Provo. So see if that has to play in anything. Kansas is in their first conference matchup of the season, just like Kansas State and Nebraska. Kansas looking to rebound after a tough loss to UNLV last week. Kansas taking on West Virginia on the road, starting at 11 a.m. All the coverage can be found on ESPN. So that's a look at your scoreboard, all the scores from last week, as well as the scores from this week around the state of Kansas. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be back with Red Devil Opposition, where we take a closer look at the Wallace County Wildcats. That's all coming up next, right here on Red Devil Game Day.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real health care, which means they're always working to improve health care outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a Bronze Award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the healthcare professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Farm Credit of Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit of Western Kansas is community driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
Should be simple and convenient. With FNB Bank, it is. Whether online, by phone, or with a debit card, accessing your money has never been easier. Imagine managing your finances from the comfort of your home or on the go with just a few taps. FNB Bank in Oberlin, Kansas makes it all possible, ensuring you have control of your banking 24/7. Experience the convenience of modern banking with FNB Bank. Visit fnbbank.com today.
If you farm, mark your calendars for September 30th. That's the last day to make changes to your crop insurance plan. Frederickson Insurance Agency in Oberlin knows buying crop insurance can be complicated. With your current farming conditions, you need to be at the correct insurance level with your operation. So bring in your projected acres and let Frederickson Insurance Agency help you plan your insurance. Remember, the deadline is September 30th. Protect your farm. Come to Frederickson Insurance Agency, next to the Landmark Inn in downtown Oberlin.
Let's take a look at tonight's opponent. It's time for Red Devil Opposition on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back into Red Devil Game Day. Time now for Red Devil Opposition, where we take a closer look at tonight's opponent, the Wallace County Wildcats. The Wildcats come into tonight with a record of 2-0, coming off of two pretty dominant wins to start the season as they took down Deerfield on the road 52-6, and then they took down Quinter at home last week 48-0. The Wildcats are coming off of a year last year in which they went 6-4 and won their district, but came up just a little bit short in the playoffs as the Wallace County Wildcats would win their district, take down Otis Bison in the first round of the playoffs 58-0 before meeting up with Dighton, who was kind of restocked and reloaded, making their way to the playoffs, and the Hornets would get the best of the Wildcats 36-16. It is the second year in a row that Wallace County has been knocked out in the playoffs by Dighton. The year before in 2022 is in the sectional round, last year in the regional round. The Hornets last week, speaking of them, they are one of the most well-coached teams, and that's something that Coach Hardwick talked about last week, and he's mentioned the same thing about this Wallace County Wildcat team, and you got to agree with him. As head coach Kyle Gefellers, in his third season there with the Wildcats, holds a 14-8 record. They made the playoffs every single year he has been there and has made some noise in the playoffs as well. But this season could be a little bit different for Coach Gefeller and his squad, as he lost a lot from last season. Only returns one guy on the offensive side of the football and two on the defensive side. So certainly going to be looking to some new, younger faces for the Wildcats. Last season, the Wildcats had a very big, deep senior class that was heavily athletic, and it showed on the hardwood, it showed on the wrestling mat, it showed everywhere, and it showed on the football field as well. Once again, as the Wildcats finished 6-4, losing in the regional round of the playoffs. This year, the Wildcats are going to be led by the two-headed monster on the offensive side of the football of Kemper Benish and Travis Corby. Corby last season just had 12 carries for 19 yards and 3 touchdowns, but he is one of the most explosive players in 8-man Division 2, and as a senior, looking to have a really big senior year this year, and he's off to a great start. He also had 5 receptions for 66 yards and a touchdown last season. Kemper Benish last year did see a little bit of time at quarterback. If you can remember back to the game last year, Kemper actually came in and almost took over kind of the starting role over the next couple of weeks after how well he performed against Oberlin there, after the main quarterback for the Wildcats kind of went down with an injury for a second, and then Kemper came in and really led the Wildcats on some great scoring drives. So Coach Gefeller left him in last year, did spend a lot of time back there behind center, 10 of 26, that's a 38 completion percentage, 202 yards, 3 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, averaged 33.7 yards per game through the air. He had 17 carries, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns as well. That's averaged out to 3.9 yards per carry. Also did have a reception for 20 yards last season. The receiving threat for the Wallace County Wildcats could come from a couple of different options. Pierce Richardson at the tight end spot. He has 4 receptions last year for 78 yards and a touchdown. And they'll also have the athletic and lanky Terrell Larson on the outside. The sophomore last year had 9 receptions for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. The Wildcats have scored 100 points through 2 games so far, 52 against Deerfield and 48 against Quinter. It's the first time that they have scored 100 points through 2 games going back to 2012, and even before that, they hadn't even done it. That's just as many as many scores as I could find before it kind of, it would be tough to find the scores. But yes, back to 2012 and maybe even beyond, it's the first time they scored 100 points through the first 2 games. So it's a very high scoring offense and a very sound defense that'll kind of give more of that 4-4 look than the Red Devils have been used to seeing between Dighton and Greeley County. You've kind of went with a 3-3-2 or a 3-4-1 look type of say, but this is a true 4-4 team. They love to stack the box. Running is going to be pretty hard tonight, as up front, not a lot of returners for the Wildcats, but a lot that have seen some experience, including Pierce Richardson, who had 13 tackles last season, and Heath McCain, who had 4. Then at the linebacker core, and kind of there in the middle of the field, you're going to see Kemper Finesse on the outside. He's always a threat there at that DB kind of linebacker hybrid. Same thing with Gage Cox. He is a terrific athlete, was a very good point guard for him. Wallace County transferred over to the hardwood, but they had like 15 guys that could play, so they just rotated in 5 and 5 and 5 and made them pretty good in some situations. But Gage Cox is one of those great scorers for him on the hardwood, and very athletic player. He's going to be athletic again. Just had 2 tackles last season in some limited time on the field as a freshman, but look for him to be big there as well. And then in the middle, you can't forget about Travis Corby. I know I said on the offensive side he hadn't got a lot of touches. Didn't play a lot of offense last year, but he's played defense for a couple of years now and had a really solid year last year. Corby, as a junior, 91 tackles, 43 solos. Did have 10.1 tackles per game and 3 fumble recoveries. Him and Baylen Raines in the middle there, that's going to be tough. So the Red Devils, who want to run the football, they want to control the time of possession, are going to have a tough time doing it against a really solid and well-coached Wallace County defense and offense. That's kind of been the name of the story over these past 2 games. You know, Dighton returned a lot from last year, but not a lot of that varsity experience. Same thing here with Wallace County. They're a little bit younger than Dighton was, but they return a lot, but not maybe on the varsity experience side of things. But they're going to be well coached, and you know it's going to be a good game. It's going to come down to the wire. So it is Wallace County and Oberlin coming up here in just a few minutes. Stick around here on Red Devil Game Day. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we sit down with head coach of the Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick. That's all coming up next right here on Today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
A step towards better health. High Plains Podiatry.
If you've tried everything to get rid of your warts, High Plains Podiatry offers innovative Swift microwave therapy. Swift is clean and unevasive to get rid of your warts, leaving no blisters or scarring. And it doesn't even need bandages. Move on from warts with amazingly effective wart removal technique from High Plains Podiatry. Call 345-3773 or visit highplainspodiatry.com.
Forget the flashy ads and gimmicks. Farmers, you need fertilizer equipment you can trust. J.D. Skiles in Atwood, Kansas delivers what truly matters, integrity and innovation. From custom fertilizer trailers and pit stop chemical systems to liquid fertilizer systems, they've got it all. Need more efficient spraying equipment? They have the most innovative ATV and UTV sprayers available. No frills, just quality. Visit them online at jdskiles.com or 101 Grant Street in Atwood, Kansas today. J.D. Skiles, where farming meets excellence without compromise.
Are you looking for the best internet service in town? Look no further than Nextech, your local provider that offers true gig speed and full fiber internet. With Nextech, your home can enjoy unlimited data and no contracts. When you need help, a Nextech employee in Kansas is ready to take your call any day of the week. Experience seamless connectivity with Nextech Home Internet for just $69, and your first bill is even on us. Don't settle. Visit next-tech.com to learn more.
Agriculture, a hard-working industry built by a labor of love, blood, sweat, and tears. An industry that is constantly changing at an increasing rate with not enough hours in the day. Nutrient Ag Solutions is here to help carry the burden by offering multiple financing options, in-depth soil health and productivity analysis, field-by-field seed recommendations, and industry-leading services. Nutrien, working smarter and harder. Contact your local Nutrien today.
Time to sit down and talk with head coach Brandon Hardwick on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back into Red Devil Game Day. Time now to sit down and talk with the head coach of the Oberlin Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick. Boy, coach, a couple of weeks into the season already. I know every week I tell you, you know, it goes by quick and quicker, but now you kind of get homecoming week, so I'm sure that's making everything kind of go a little bit fast as well. But as well with that, take some time to reflect, and it's crazy you're 2 weeks into the season already, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Thinking about how next week already, it's district football coming up here quick. But, yeah, homecoming week, this week flies by quick with everything going on. A lot of distractions going on, but I think our guys are ready for a game tonight.
Yeah, big game tonight, taking on Wallace County. I want to flip it back to last week here before we kind of talk about the Wildcats. You guys took on the Dighton Hornets at home and gave them everything you guys had there and left it all out on the field. Tough loss, 44-40, but I guess kind of what were your thoughts after last week's tough loss?
I was super proud of our team, how we played. We knew going in that Dighton's going to be a very good team. They're always very well coached, very disciplined in all their assignments. And we know we kind of dropped one there. When we're up 40-28 with about 3.5 minutes left, we've got to find a way to close out that game there. But, again, super proud of our guys. You know, we're still a very young team. First time we've been in a situation like that in a big game or up like that. But I think we learned from it, and, you know, we're ready to get one back tonight.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned that up 40-28 there, and obviously you'd like to get the win there and get a couple of stops on the defensive side of the football, but I felt other than kind of maybe those last few minutes there where, you know, Dighton was running a hurry-up offense, it was kind of tough to defend against. You guys really in the second half, the defense-wise, really stepped it up, and that's kind of what led you, you know, to get that big lead. How proud of you were of the defense, especially, you know, kind of in that first half when Dighton responded with, you know, four straight touchdowns there. But in the second half up until that point, you guys had held them scoreless. Had to be pretty happy with the way the defense played last week, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Just the whole team, the way we handled the adversity. You know, we go from being up 14-0 to being down 28-14, then we come back and get a lead again. You know, it's a very wild game. You know, as a coach, we don't like to see them scoring that much, but you know, we've talked all the week before the game. Bad things are going to happen. There's going to be some adversity throughout the game, and how are we going to handle it? I thought we handled it very well. You know, there's times where, like you said, we give up 28 unanswered points, and then we start stopping them again and often start scoring. Just we're very proud of the way our guys have persevered throughout the whole game.
Yeah, and you mentioned perseverance. That really showed up for you guys, I thought, you know, with your backs against your own end zone, when they're in your red zone and have a chance to score, you guys were able to stop them two or three times, make them go four and out, and get the ball back to you. I mean, red zone defense, obviously, you want to play defense good on either side of the field, but really when you get in the red zone there, get in the trenches, getting some big stops, that can change a game, can't it?
Especially in A-man football, you know, no teams really kick field goals or anything like that. So once you get inside that 40, you're always in four down territory. You got to stop them four times in a row. But yeah, super proud of the way defense played. Wish we could have got a couple back there at the end of the game. And just being a young team, a few things that guys weren't totally ready for. You know, being in man coverage, you got to keep your eyes on your man. You can't be peeking in the backfield. That cost us a few times. Obviously, a fumble that, you know, in a pretty key situation there hurt us. But I think we opened a lot of eyes on Friday night. You know, not everyone else knows who we are yet. I think Dighton figured out that we're kind of a real deal this year. I think all of our crowd figured out that, you know, there's something going on here. But no one else knows it yet.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way you guys like it, right? To kind of walk out there on the football field knowing you got confidence in yourself. That other team doesn't know what you guys, you know, kind of have in your arsenal yet. And it seemed like Dighton, that first quarter, they were, you know, on their heels, not really knowing how to play there. That's kind of how you guys won it, right, this season, of walking out there, hey, you know, we're kind of the underdog maybe in some people's eyes, but we're going to show them how we can play, right?
Absolutely. I think every week, every game we go into, we're going to be the underdog right now. Sharon Springs is coming here tonight, 2-0. You know, we're 1-1. I think everywhere has the underdog. Next week, we'll play St. Francis. I think they'll probably get a win tonight. We'll be going there. They'll be 3-0. We'll be considered the underdog again. So, yeah, really, it's kind of the way I like it. If teams want to doubt us a little bit, we'll, man, like I said, we'll open their eyes up pretty quick, I think.
And then offensively last week, boy, what a week. Obviously, Josiah Pattengall having, you know, an amazing, amazing game there with over 340 yards rushing and 5 touchdowns. And, I mean, but offensively, you know, you take kind of maybe Josiah's numbers out of it, still a great time. He put up 40 points and get a lead there late. I mean, it was a really good offensively week, wasn't it, for you?
Yeah, and we were running the offense exactly the way I think we need to run. I think we got to have solid drives, control the time of possession, run the clock. And, you know, I think we did offensively exactly what we needed to do, played exactly how we needed to. And I think we discovered our identity a little bit of who we are. I think we are a smash-mouth football team.
Yeah, and it really showed, I thought, on that final drive, you know, when you've got, you know, about a minute and 15 seconds left, and you guys stuck with the run, which a lot of teams, you think, you know, you got to get down the field quick and pass. You stuck with the run and got it all the way there to give you a shot to win the football game. So kind of be proud with that final drive, especially, you know, dealing with the clock and stuff like that, right?
Absolutely, and that's just me having learned from previous coaches. You know, at time of the game, it's easy to start trying to go into pass and quick 2-minute offense, but you know, we just continued to work with what got us in that situation in the game to begin with, and that was our run game. We got some pretty smart runners. You know, Pattengall was getting out of bounds whenever he could. I thought we used our timeouts pretty well, and, you know, we had a shot at the end of the game to win it. We had the right play dialed up, but we just fell short Friday, and that happens. You know, I think it's a big life lesson I try to tell the players is, you know, you can give everything you got, you know, all your hard work, everything you put in, you still might come up short, and you got to be able to deal with that.
Yeah, and we, you know, I mentioned Josiah having a great week, and I feel like we've talked about him, you know, a lot and how much of a presence he is there on the offensive side of the ball, and kind of with, you know, some extra pieces that you've got this year, you've really been able to see him flourish, and it showed on Friday night, didn't it?
It totally did. You know, he was happy to see it. I was happy to see it. During track season this spring, we joked together a little bit. I told him, I hope you're ready to carry the ball 30 times a game, and, you know, that's what it ended up being. Friday night, it was 34 carries, I think, what he had. So right now it's looking to keep him healthy, keep our whole team healthy, especially that offensive line. You know, it's easy to look them over, but he doesn't go for 340 yards without those big boys up front.
Yeah, and you mentioned the offensive line, Garrett Emick, you know, Caden Shaw, Rustin, and Gus all had a really good night. I thought Garrett, you know, the you mentioned the word perseverance. I thought Garrett, you know, showed that, kind of, you know, was a little bit banged up there in the first half, came back, he ended up playing the whole game for you, and you could tell he was hurting out there at some points, but the fact that he stayed in and competed for you, you had to be really happy with the way he played, right?
Yeah, especially with him. You know, I don't know if there's a tougher kid who's played through more pain, more injuries than him. You know, he is. He's just a tough, hard-nosed kid. And that's something that we can't coach. You either got it or you don't. He definitely has it.
And, you know, offensive line was great. Back to the defensive line, they really stepped up for you big, because Dighton's kind of a team that they want to run it, you know, down your throats too as well. They maybe go a little bit outside a little bit more, but you guys were able to kind of keep it contained, I thought, and especially, you know, when they were running jet sweeps and left and right, kind of knowing where the ball was at. Your D-line did a really good job last week, didn't they?
I thought we played pretty responsible defense with our box players. Our ends were very good about squeezing their own block. Taking the QB on everything, taking dive, linebackers did pretty well about going with that jet sweep, taking care of it. I do think we have a very good run defense. I think we've had a very good run defense for the past couple of years, but I think now it's just time to get our pass defense in check, up to par with that run defense, and you know, I think we'll be pretty solid if we get a few mistakes figured out on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, you mentioned those mistakes. I know we talked before the game. It was kind of be one, you know, you kind of thought, and, you know, it really comes down to it. It seems like every week of those turnovers, and if you make a mental mistake here or there, it could cost you the game. And, you know, it's kind of maybe bad to use that as an but it kind of is a great example of last week, you know, that fumble there, you know, with you guys in the lead and ended up costing the game. Is that something that, that you tell the guys, like, hey, that's a perfect example of we got to play four quarters of not mistake, you know, written football, and we can walk away with a win?
Yeah, you know, we said mistakes will be made. It's just, you know, we got to make sure we make less than Dyton made and not make them in the key situations like that. But, you know, everyone made mistakes throughout the game. That could be fixed. But, yeah, we just got to try to clean it up a little bit week by week.
And going to try to do that again tonight. You get a tough Wallace County team. And it's homecoming, like you said. You got a bunch of distractions, but you guys are going to meet up on the football field here tonight. You get Wallace County. They're off to a great start, 2-0. They're a little bit younger than they have been over the past two or three years, and but they're still going to be a really good football team. They got some really great athletes on that side of the ball. I guess, what are you expecting to see out of them tonight, and how are you guys going to come out with a victory?
You know, I expect them to play very hard. If they have the last few years, Coach Rigafella, he's a very good coach. He's going to have those kids, you know, playing responsible, playing assignment sound football, and I know they're going to be playing hard. It's nice to have a team that's, you know, about the same age as we are. You know, we're a very young team. They're a very young team also. I think it's going to be a lot like last week for us. I think we're going to have to control time possession on offense and, you know, get our run game established to help open up the pass when we need it. And then defense, you know, we've got to play salty defense again. We've got to be assignment sound. It looks like Sharon does a little bit of option football. So, again, just being assignment sound, being disciplined in your assignment on defense will help get us one tonight, I think.
Yeah, and you mentioned kind of the homecoming week and some of the distractions, I guess. That's also good, you know, for your team as well. It's always fun to have homecoming, you know, in Oberlin and stuff like that and all the festivities that go along with it. But, you know, has it been tough? Is it going to be tough to kind of get the guys riled in for the game tonight?
I think once you get done with the parade and everything today and it turns into a regular Friday night, I think they'll be locked in. I think they are, you know, pretty hungry. Knowing that, you know, we dropped one last week. We dropped one that should have been at 40-28, and we let that go. I think that's still in a few of their systems, and I think they're going to, you know, show tonight that they're ready to go. They're ready to get one back.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking the time to sit down and chat with us. Good luck tonight, and hopefully you guys pull out the W.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Once again, that was head coach of the Red Devils, Brandon Hardwick, giving his thoughts on the season so far and what he expects to see out of the Wildcats tonight. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, it's out live to Smick Memorial Field, where we will have starting lineups and kickoff between the Wallace County Wildcats and the Oberlin Red Devils. It's homecoming, and man, oh man, are we ready to kick it off. You can listen to all the action right here on 101.1 KFNF.
Where hometown turf meets fresh market dreams. Rage Grocery in downtown Oberlin is a feast for the senses. Hand-picked produce, sizzling steaks, and hearty roasts await your dinner table. Quality soars in every aisle. And when the lunch bell rings, their deli dishes out delights that'll turn your midday meal into a culinary escape on select days. See store for details. Shopping at Rage is a breeze, leaving the heavy lifting to them as they escort your groceries right to your car. Experience the difference at Rage Grocery. Fresh, friendly, and always local. Rage Grocery in downtown Oberlin. Grill has served you pretty well and served you up some pretty tasty meals over the years. Why not treat yourself to a grill that's portable? Yeah, a Halo Grill, where smoke meets innovation. Available at R&M Service Center in Oberlin. The Prime Series of battery-powered pellet grills from Halo offers a versatile outdoor cooking solution that offers real smoke flavor and quality performance. With four different sizes available, you could even take one camping. Learn more about the Halo Grills at R&M Service Center, downtown Oberlin.
The difference between going to the bank and going to the bank. When you go to the bank, it's just,
hello, welcome to the bank. How can we bore you?
But when you go to the bank,
hi, welcome to the bank. How can we help you?
And that help is offered to you in 13 Northern Kansas locations to help your financial goals become a reality. From services and loans to state-of-the-art financial products, come to where the difference is better. The bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
To the school. school year with an everyday spend reloadable prepaid card from United Northwest Federal Credit Union. This personalized prepaid card can help you conveniently budget for school essentials from food to supplies. It is safer to use than cash, can be managed and reloaded anytime, anywhere using your digital device, and is compatible with mobile wallets. Sign up by calling 785-475-2322 or stopping by one of our branches in Oberlin or Norton. Equal housing lender, NCUA insured.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field, where tonight we get another edition of Oberlin Red Devil Football here on 101.1 KFNF. I'm Sam Noll, giving you all the play-by-play coverage as the Oberlin Red Devils trying to come back after a tough defeat last week. Like we mentioned, losing to Dighton by a final score of 44-40. We're up at one point there in that contest, 40-28, but just could not get the couple of plays to walk away with the win. Ended up losing last week 44-40. Wallace County coming off that dominant win last week at Quinter, 48-0. Should be a good one tonight. Beautiful outside here in Oberlin. A bit windy, I think, for everybody's taste, but other than that, you cannot complain about how it is looking outside, and it's homecoming here in Oberlin, and man, have everyone's come out for this game tonight. They know it's going to be a big one, and especially with the way the Red Devils performed last week, everyone is kind of making their way out saying, hey, we need to come out, watch this team, because they might be able to pull off a win this week against a tough team. Currently at the moment, 90 degrees here at Smick Memorial Field. We'll get as low as about 79 throughout the broadcast tonight, but do have a pretty good wind coming in from the south at about 16 miles an hour normally, and then it'll gust up 20, 25 miles an hour at some points as well. And here in the press box kind of shakes it a little bit, but man, it is going to be windy out here tonight at Smick Memorial Field, and shouldn't play too much of a factor, though. Each of these two teams really going to love to run the football as well as not pass it so much, so they won't have to worry about the wind really at all. But once again, 90 degrees here, about ready to get going as the Wildcats have made their way back out onto the football field. Oberlin still in the locker room getting ready to go there. And beautiful night for football here at Smick Memorial Field. Once again, homecoming here in Oberlin, so they've got the nice scripted Red Devils out across the middle of the field, starting at the 25, then running to the opposite 25. Really looks cool every single time they do that for homecoming here. And then there's people out in the parking lot tailgating, grilling up burgers and hot dogs. Man, it gives you all of that homecoming feel. And the Oberlin Red Devil faithful coming out to support the Red Devils tonight. We're just a couple of minutes away here from kickoff between the Wildcats and the Red Devils. That's coming up next here on 101.1 KFNF.
Improve efficiency and add value to your property with a functional and well-designed workshop from the experts at VAC Construction. With a new limited-time special offer, they're making it even more affordable to get a new workshop with a power lift door that creates maximum versatility for ag machinery, aircraft, commercial operations, and more. Learn more and cash in on this offer today at vapconstruction.com. That's vapconstruction.com.
Earning yours is Ward Drug's top priority. Their expert team in downtown Oberlin, Kansas provides diabetic supplies, home medical equipment, braces, and crutches. They offer sports medical supplies to keep you active and healthy. Independently owned and operated, they ensure personalized care with every visit. From your daily needs to specialized medical equipment, Ward Drug has you covered. Visit warddrugstore.com or call 785-475-2285 or even stop in downtown Oberlin. Ward Drug, your trusted partner in health and wellness.
Bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services.
Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation.
Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty.
For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533.
AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smith Memorial Field, just about set and ready to go to get things going here tonight between the Oberlin Red Devils and the Wallace County Wildcats as the Wildcats out on the football field. Oberlin still waiting to trot their way out and have the big cannon blast behind them. Homecoming here in Oberlin, and man, the festivities going on all the way throughout the day. Had the parade a little bit earlier, and that went off very, very well. They got the floats out in front of the football field. Always fun to have homecoming here in Oberlin, and the Red Devils trying to get a big homecoming win tonight against the tough Wallace County Wildcats. Like we mentioned in the pregame show, they are young this season, but still very athletic and very well coached from Coach Caveller and his squad over there at Wallace County. Let's run you through our starting lineups here tonight. We will start with the Wallace County Wildcats on the offensive side of the football at the tight end spots. They'll have Weston Gibbs, a sophomore, and Pierce Richardson, a sophomore. Pierce did see a little bit of action. He's kind of the lone returning starter on the offensive side of the football for the Wildcats. Richardson, 4 receptions, 78 yards, and a touchdown last season. At the offensive line spots, at the guard spots, it'll be Heath McCain, sophomore, and Oscar Okeson, a senior. And then at the center spot, it'll be Tyler Wagner, a junior. At the quarterback spot, Kemper Benish. And at the running back spot here tonight, it is Travis Corby. And the Oberlin Red Devils making their way out onto the football field behind the big cannon blast as they run their way out. Had a bunch of fans around them, kind of with a little bit of a tunnel, getting all high fives from them as we're just about set and ready to go. Take you through your Wallace County Wildcats starting defense tonight. The defensive line, it is Pierce Richardson, sophomore, Heath McCain, sophomore, Tyler Wagner, junior, and Weston Gibbs, sophomore. At the defensive back spots, it's Kemper Benish, the junior, and Gage Cox, the sophomore. And then at the linebacker spots, Braylon Raines, the sophomore, and Travis Corby, the senior, who's really who you got to look out for on the defensive side. 91 tackles last season, 10.1 tackles per game. Take you through the starting lineups for your Oberlin Red Devils tonight on the offensive side of the football at the kind of guard slash tight end spot. It's Gary Mick, 5'11", 218-pound senior. Rustin Bailey and Gus Emick will make up the guard spots as well. Rustin, a 5'6", 177-pound sophomore, and Gus, a 5'9", 238-pound sophomore. Caden Shaw, the center tonight, he's 6'1", 225-pound sophomore. Tyler Osmeyer makes up the tight end spot. Second team All-Northwest Kansas League last year at the tight end spot, 6'3", 210-pound junior. Gage Willoughby, the starting quarterback for the Oberlin Red Devils tonight. Had an okay week last week, 2 of 7 for 33 yards. Did have a touchdown, but also threw a pick, 5 carries for 30 yards as well. He stands 5'11", 160 pounds, and is a sophomore. Josiah Pattengall with one of the best weeks in Oberlin Red Devil history last week. 35 carries, 342 yards, 5 touchdowns, 5'7", 174-pound sophomore. Back at the running back spot, at the fullback spot, Caden Sowers, 5'7", 162-pound freshman. On the defensive side of the football, at the DN spots, it'll be Garrett Emick, 5'11", 218-pound senior, and Tyler Osmeyer, 6'3", 210-pound junior. The nose guard spot, Gus Emick, 5'9", 238-pound sophomore. Rustin Bailey, Josiah Pattengall, Caden Sowers make up the linebacker spot. Rustin, 5'6", 177-pound sophomore. Josiah Pattengall, 5'7", 174-pound sophomore. Caden Sowers, 5'7", 162-pound freshman. And then at the defensive back spots, it'll be Gage Willoughby, 5'11", 160-pound sophomore, and Talon Savage, 5'11", 145-pound senior. Each of the team's captains have made their way out onto the football field. The Red Devils, represented by Josiah Pattengall, Garrett Emick, Talon Savage, as well out there, it is Jesse Hendrickson. He will be out there as a captain here tonight for the Red Devils as they meet up with a couple of the officials. And the Red Devils hoping to win the toss again this week, and we'll see if they can do it. Red Devils looking for win number 2 on the season. Wallace County looking to start 3-0. The last time Wallace County did that, start 3-0, was 2015, so been a while. And they won their 11 games of that season, went 11-0, ended up losing in the sub-state round of the playoffs in 2015. But they took down Rawlins County 36-14, Oberlin 52-6, and Trago 60-14 to start 3-0. Their last time being 2-0 was 2 years ago in 2022 when they beat Quinter 14-6. And Oberlin 48-6. So Oberlin and Wallace County over the past few years have really faced each other in week one, week two, or week three, and here they are again in this week three matchup. Just the ninth time, though, since 2001 that these two teams had met up. Oberlin will receive, and that is how we will go for the coin toss. So the Wildcats win it, defer to the second half, and Oberlin will receive to start here in this one as we get set and ready to go from Smith Memorial Field. Homecoming night, and the Red Devils trying to get off with a homecoming winner. See if they can do it. Red Devils oh so close to their 2-0 start last week, just losing to Dighton 44-40, and really came down to just a final turnover there down the stretch. Red Devils played really great in the second half, especially on the defensive side of the football, after they gave up four straight touchdowns between the first and the second quarter to the high-powered Dighton Hornet offense, and then really settled in on the defensive side of the football in the second half, held them to 0 points in the third quarter and almost in the fourth quarter. They just scored with under 3 minutes to go, scored twice to get the win 44-40. 100 points so far between the two games for the Wallace County Wildcats. That's the most going back to 2012. So Wallace County out to a great start on the offensive side of the football. Defense has only allowed 6 points, so it's going to be a true test tonight. And to kick this one away, it'll be Kemper Benish back to receive for the Red Devils. It's Gage Willoughby and Patton Gall. It's a high end-over-end kick that Willoughby will take just in front of the five-yard line. Now he cuts back. He's got some running room. Still on his feet. Makes his way out across the 20, inside in between the 25, between the 20 and the 25 yard line, and that's where the Red Devils will start here. First down and 10 with 11:55 to go in the first quarter of play. So the Red Devils looking to get it started here on their first drive. It was their first play from scrimmage last week that went 64 yards to the house on a Josiah Pattengall run, and see if they maybe want to take a little more time on the first drive here this week. It'll be I formation set. Willoughby will go under center. Sowers in between him and Pattengall, who's at the top of the eye. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff. He's looking to throw. Has the man wide open. It's Caden Sowers. Right to the 40-yard line. Makes the catch. Cuts back to the 35. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. He's in for a touchdown, Red Devils. So they go 65 yards last week on the first play, do the same thing this week. This time it's through the air, and the Red Devils lead it 6-0 with 11:44 to go. On the first play of the game, they house it on a nice pass from Gage Willoughby to Caden Sowers. 57 yards through the air. Gage Willoughby just fired it down the middle of the field. Here's the snap on the two-point conversion try. Willoughby wrapped up and brought down right up front there by Heath McCain. But the Red Devils score on their first play of scrimmage in back-to-back weeks. And they take a 6-0 lead. We'll be back with more action here. 6-0 Red Devils on 101.1 KFNF.
Creative Collision in Oberlin reminds you, when involved in an accident, the insurance company will pay for towing to the shop of your choice within a reasonable distance. Not the closest shop available. No law requires you to get more than one estimate. You choose the shop and authorize the repairs. Remember, your car, your choice. Creative Collision, Oberlin's choice body shop for all your collision and restoration services. Call them at 785-470-2130 or stop by at 1843 Highway 83 in Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Freshman, dude. Welcome back here from Smith Memorial Field, where the Red Devils in back-to-back weeks have scored on their first play from possession. Last week it was a 64-yard touchdown rip, just one cut and go for Josiah Pattengall to the house. This week they go through the air. It's Gage Willoughby hitting Caden Sowers for a 57-yard touchdown pass and catch. The two-point conversion was no good, but a 6-0 lead for the Red Devils, and the kickoff here from Garrett Emick will sputter its way out of the five-yard line, and so Wallace County will either get to take the football here at the 25 or above, or they get to re-kick this one. and waiting on Coach Gefeller to kind of decide what it was. Man, what a pass, though. Gage Willoughby kind of threw it up there. Remnants of last week when he did the same thing with Tyler Ostmeyer, just kind of threw it up into the back of the end zone. Ostmeyer came down with a pass there towards the tail end of the first half last week to kind of get the Red Devils a spark going into the locker room. This time he throws it up. Caden Sowers came down with the ball and then had to make a great broken tackle and was just able to get out in front, and he houses it from 57 yards, and it's 6-0 Red Devils. First time we'll see the Wallace County offense here, but Ish hands it off and cutting it back off to the outside. Got some running room out there. He is Larson, and Larson is able to pick up a couple of yards after, as they'll start with the football. First down and 10 from the 25-yard line will the Wallace County Wildcats. Larson picks up two on the first play from scrimmage from them, so they don't do what Oberlin did and house it on the first play. 11:19 to go in the first quarter. 6-0 Red Devils. Second down and 8 for the Wildcats from their own 27-yard line. Banish out of the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off, and he's wrapped up and brought down right away, shooting the gap right up the middle and sending Corey nowhere. Was Rustin Bailey. Give him a TFL. Didn't have one last week, and he comes up with a big one this week. Rustin Bailey, who had 15 tackles last week, comes up with a big one for his first one of the day there, sends him back 3 yards, and Corby starts out his day with a negative rushing attack, and with 10:42 to go, it's third down and 11 to the Wildcats. We'll have to go to the drawing board here. Third down and 11 from the 24-yard line of the Wildcats. Out of the shotgun is Banish, as a man on his hip, receiver out to either side. Banish takes the snap. He's looking to throw, still looking, fires it over the middle, has Corby there, and he's hit and dropped right away. Rustin Bailey again, and they maybe get back to where they were after that first run from Corby. And that'll bring up fourth down and long here for the Wildcats. So they say he was able to pick up 5 through the air there, Banish to Corby, but Corby took a hard hit right there, and now it'll be Banish to punt. He sends a high end-over-end spinner that'll take a bounce right just in front of the 20-yard line, roll all the way down inside the 15 to make its way out near the 10-yard line. So the Red Devils force a punt from the Wildcats. Rustin Bailey will win the MVP of that drive just with 2 massive hits. The one he wrapped up Corby by the legs in the backfield, and then just laid Corby out over the middle of the football field there on the third down play, forcing the Wildcats to punt. And the Red Devils, who scored on play number 1, will now be back out there now, first down and 10 from their own 13-yard line. So not as good as field position as they had to start the contest. And Willoughby again will go out of the I formation. It's Patton Gall at the tip of the eye. Takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall got some running room. He's still at the 10, making his way out there across the 10, and maybe got back to the original line of scrimmage or gained a yard, if that. And so that'll bring up second down here in about 9 for the Red Devils after the pickup of 1 from Josiah Patton Gall, coming off of one of the greatest weeks for him and in Red Devil history. 342 yards officially, 5 touchdowns, and an interception on the defensive side of things. Gage Willoughby will run the play in. 9:23 and counting to go in the first quarter. Red Devils 6, Wildcats 0. This is the second Red Devil possession after their first one of the first play of the game. Went for 57 yards on a touchdown pass from Willoughby to Sowers. I formation again. Patton Gault at the tip of the eye. It's a handoff to him. He's got some running room. Cuts it back up the middle of the field, making his way out near the 15-yard line. They're going to mark him just about short, excuse me, in front of the 15 there, or the 20. So he was able to pick up a good amount of yards there. And that'll bring up third down and about 5 is what they're going to call it. So a pickup of 4 for Patton Gall. It'll make it third down and 5. First third down the Red Devils have faced here. 8:43 to go in the first quarter of play. Red Devils didn't have any third downs last week either. But when they did, they were able to keep the drive going, and that's what you got to get here. It'll be Willoughby out of the shotgun this time. He's got Patton Gall in his hip. Sowers is on the line, but just behind everybody. Takes the snap. Willoughby looking out to throw. Got a man wide open again. It's Caden Sowers, but he just overthrows him. Wide open at the 40-yard line. No one was around him. Kind of almost the same play as play number 1, where Sowers just kind of ran a wheel route out there and just overthrew him just by outstretched fingertips. And with 8:22 to go, the clock will stop. It'll bring up fourth down and 5. The Red Devils still with a 6-0 lead and a tough drive right there as the Red Devils just couldn't get that ground attack going like they wanted to with Pattengall as he picked up a hard-earned 5 yards, and then the pass on third down falls incomplete, just out of the reach of the outstretched fingertips of Caden Sowers right about the 40-yard line. Sowers will be the one to punt, and Sowers will send a high. This one will spin and will take a bounce at the 30. It'll roll all the way back there to the 25-yard line. That's where the Wildcats will pick it up, and then they maybe gain a yard. Rustin Bailey again flies in to get the tackle. Also coming in there was Cohen Anderson running all the way down to make the stop, and that's where the Wildcats will start their second possession of the contest with 8:13 to go here in the first quarter of play. 6-0, Oberlin in front of the 57-yard TD strike on the first play the game, but the Red Devils just went 3-and-out on their next possession. Wildcats went 3-and-out on theirs and lost 3 yards in the rushing attack, and then had to go with a pass there, but still weren't able to get it out of the shotgun. Benish, man on either hip, one receiver out to the right, takes the snap, he's rolling out to the right, no, it's going to be a QB run, he gets right to the sticks, there the line of scrimmage, and Sowers forces him out hard, he met him right in the chest and said, you're not going anywhere, and shoved him out of bounds, and that'll bring up 2nd down and 10 here after the pickup of nothing on the first play of scrimmage there for the Wildcats. Kemper Benish, his first carry of the night, and the Wildcats have 3 carries for negative 1 yard so far here in the first quarter. 8:03 to go, first quarter of play, Red Devils in front 6-0. The clock did stop there because Benish was tackled out of bounds. He'll go out of the shotgun this time as a man on his hip. One receiver all the way out to the right, one to the left. Benish wanting to take the snap, and the Red Devils are going to go off sides, and that'll move him up 5 yards. Looked like it was Tyler Osmeyer first, and then Theo Butterfield went in over the nose guard spot there. And so that'll bring up 2nd down. And 5 after the loss of 5 there for the Red Devils on the penalty. So 2nd and 5, but Ish takes the snap, looking to pitch it out, and the ball is coughed up and fumbled, and Josiah Pattengall lands on top of it, and the Red Devils will get it back at the 30-yard line. Benish was hit in the backfield right away, tried to shovel it out there to Corby, who was running with him for the option, and when he did, he was wrapped up and brought down, lost the football on a fumble, Pattengall falls on top of it, and the Red Devils will have it 1st down and 10, call it from the 29-yard line. So after they make a little mental mistake there, going offsides, they get the football right back, short yardage. 1st down and 10 for the Red Devils from the 29-yard line. Willoughby will go under center, I formation, one receiver out to the right. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off, Pattengall, got some running room, cuts back, still on his feet, and he's able to make his way out for a nice pickup of a couple of yards there. So the Wildcats, they're defense more centered around the run. They put a lot of guys within the box and kind of cramp everybody right up next to the line as compared to Dighton, where they had a little more, you know, space in between their defensive line and linebackers. Wallace County, they do not want you to run it down their throats. And so Oberlin having a tough time getting that ground game going, but they have been able to get a few yards every single rush and slowly just kind of keep chipping away, and you might be able to break a big one. 2nd down and 8 for the Red Devils from the 27-yard line of the Wildcats. Got the football there due to a fumble from the Wildcats. Willoughby will go under center, has Pattengall directly behind him, takes the snap, fakes the handoff. Now he gives it off to Pattengall, who's still on his feet after breaking a tackle. Now he'll finally be wrapped up and brought down. A late flag will come in as well. That was actually Sowers that was right behind him, and then Pattengall came out from the other side. He handed it off to him, kind of snuck it in there, and he was able to make his way out to their outside, but then instead they're going to say a block in the back here on the Red Devils, and so that'll mark it back a few yards. So that'll be a 10-yard penalty and bring up 2nd down and 18. 2nd down and just a few there as Pattengall's run got him out across the 25 to about the 24. But the 10-yard penalty marks them back a few yards, and it'll make it 2nd down and 12. So 2nd down and 12 here for the Red Devils. 7:03 to go in the first quarter of play. Willoughby. And now the Red Devils looking to get some personnel in here as Gus Emick comes running out onto the field. Willoughby will go out of the shotgun again. And now There is a penalty that's going to be called on the Red Devils here. And an substitution-wise, maybe there. And so that'll mark him back 5 yards. The Red Devils called the play, and then they were scrambled around looking for somebody to come in. Gus Emick ran in from the sideline and came up, so that'll make it second down and 17. So the Red Devils now with three penalties for 20 yards already here in the first quarter of play. Second down and 17 for the Red Devils. It's taking it out almost to the 40-yard line. Sits ball right at the 37. Second down and 17. Willoughby will go out of the shotgun. Man on his hip of the backfield. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. This is Sowers on the end around. He cuts back. Got some running room. He's still on his feet. Cuts back towards the middle of the field. And he makes his way out across the 35-yard line. So he gets a good chunk of that yardage back that they've lost via the penalties. Almost gets the original first down marker, but it's third down for the Red Devils. And Brandon Hardwick's got to draw up a good play here, third down of the country mile to get to the sticks, which sit at the 20-yard line. The Red Devils had it first down and 10 from the 29-yard line after the fumble from the Wildcats, and it just went backwards on the drive. That was a pickup of 4 by Caden Sowers. Brings up third down and 13 for the Red Devils from the Wildcat 34-yard line. 6:13 to go in the first quarter. Willoughby out of the shotgun, takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall cuts back. He's got some running room at the 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, see you later. Touchdown, Josiah Pattengall from 34 yards out on 3rd and 13. Dial it up for the main man, and he gets himself a touchdown, his 8th of the season. So Josiah Pattengall from 34 yards out sneaks it in for the Red Devils, and they take a 12-0 lead. PAT pending here with 6:03 to go in the first quarter of play. Pattengall there just got it to the right, cut back to the left, cut back up the middle, and then got it outside of the left side and took off, and he was gone in an instant. And that's what Brandon Hardwick has loved about Josiah so far, is his shiftiness there in the backfield, able to not just, you know, run right up the hole, he's able to get outside as well. It'll be Willoughby out of the shotgun, takes the snap, and the snap will go through his hands, out of the backfield. Now he's running around, he's at the 15, throws it in, into the end zone, and Caden Sowers will make the catch. Brandon Hardwick shaking his head like, I guess that's a way to get 2 points, and the Red Devils do. It's 14-0, Red Devils in front with 6:03 to go here in the first quarter of play. This is Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, this is Matt Osmeyer, your Culligan dealer for Rawlins, Decatur, and Norton Counties. As we begin another fall sports schedule, we want to wish the best of luck to all area athletes. Culligan of Overland is a proud supporter of school activities, and we want to encourage the community to come out and watch all our talented area students participate in all their school activities. And remember, if you have questions about the water in your home, call me for free water analysis at 785-475-2471. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
So the Red Devils again out in front early here in quarter number one, just like against Dighton when they jumped out to a 14-0 lead. They have done the same thing here in the first quarter, up 14-0 with 6:03 to go in the first quarter of play. Red Devils have had a couple of mental errors, though. I'm sure that's what Coach Hardwick will want to clean up here as we're getting closer, maybe moving our way into the second quarter. But even with that, the Red Devils haven't lowered their head at all, and they've been able to score a couple of big touchdowns, and they lead it 14-0 here. It'll be Garrett Emick to kick it off, and he was going to try to send a little squib up the middle. Instead, it caught some air, and then just falling right on the football there is actually going to be Terrell Larson, who it just went directly at him. He just falls on the football, so good field position for the Wildcats, the best they've had all game. They'll have first down and 10 from the 38-yard line after they coughed up the football their last drive out. So Oberlin, a 57-yard touchdown pass, a 34-yard touchdown run. Not much of an offense for the Wildcats yet. Out of this I formation, and Benesh trying to go with a little quick snap there, and he might have got his own guys offside, and he does. On the day, just 4 total yards of offense for the Wildcats, and that'll move them back 5 yards. their first penalty. Oberlin kind of was riddled with penalties on that last drive, faced a 3rd and 13, and they handed it off to the man that they know can get the 13 yards, Josiah Pattengall, and he got more than that. He got himself a score, his 8th touchdown of the season. First down and 15 here for the Wildcats from their own 34-yard line. Banish will go out of the shotgun. He's got Corby on his hip. Receivers out to either side. Four-man front. Takes the snap. Banish rolling out to his right. Still got some running room before he's wrapped up and brought down from behind. Garrett Emick just snuck his way around the back and was able to wrap him up and throw him back for a loss. So Garrett Emick with a TFL. That's a great way to start it. And it'll make it 2nd down and 16. Banish goes the wrong way there. And so make it 2nd down and 16. Haven't been able to get out in front of the chains, really, at all, have the Wildcats. Banish will go out of the shotgun again. Receiver out to either side. Got a man on his hip. That's Corby. Banish takes the snap, looking, throws a quick pass out to Larson. It's through his hands. Was looking towards the near side of the field, moving right to left, and was kind of going to the Oberlin sideline, trying to throw a little quick out there for 2, 5, 6 yards, but instead it goes right through Larson's hands, and that'll bring up 3rd down and 16, and big decision time here for Coach Kyle Gefeller with his team down 14-0, 5:19 to go in the first quarter of play. You got some good field position. The end zone a lot closer than what you've seen so far, but you got to come up with a big 3rd down conversion here. 3rd and 16. Ball on the 33-yard line of the Wildcats. They'll break the huddle and run their way up there. Banish will go out of the shotgun. Corby on the left hip this time. One receiver out to the left, one to the right. Banish takes the snap. Banish rolling out to his left, looking. He'll throw a long deep pass down the left sideline. The pass is up, and it'll be picked off. No, it goes back into the hands of the Wildcats coming in with the reception. How did he make that catch? Gage Cox comes down with a football after Oberlin's very own had it in his hands. Jesse Hendrickson looked up, saw it coming his way, picked it off, and then Gage Cox just runs it down and gets it right back into his fingertips. Oh my goodness. So a gain of 35 through the air, and just an unlucky break for the Red Devils. Banish will go out of the shotgun here. Banish takes the snap, QB run off the left side, and he's wrapped up and brought down again. Tyler Osmeyer will shove him back for a few yards. So Banish on that run today has not really had anything going at all, even either him or Corby, as that's a negative 2-yard rush. So it brings up 2nd down and 12 for the Wildcats. 4:30 to go in the first quarter of play. 14-0. I formation this time, or close I formation here. Under center is Banish. Takes the snap, hands it off, and running it right up the middle. No, Banish keeps it, looking to pitch it out, and instead he's going to be wrapped up and thrown forward, maybe for a gain, but Josiah Pattengall had him in the backfield. He had a couple of different guys to go to. Braylon Raines was back there, kind of as a fullback spot. Faked the hand off to him, pulled it at the very last second, rushed out to the right. Pattengall read it the whole way, threw him forward. They're going to say he picked up. They got it 3rd and 8 on the scoreboard. It's more like 3rd and 11 after he picks up one.
They had 3rd and 12 up there.
He just fell forward there, so it'll bring up 3rd down and 11 here. Out of the shotgun is Banish. No, it's Corby taking the direct snap, running out to his right. He's got some blockers out there, turns the corner at the 10 to the 5 before he's wrapped up and brought down to the outside by Garrett Emick and Jesse Hendrickson. Flags litter the football field, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if we have a holding here, and it looks like we will. So the holding will go against the Wildcats, and they're going to move him back 10 more yards here. So that'll take it to about the 21-yard line. The sticks sit right at about the 1 or the 2. So they got a long way to go. 3rd down and a country mile here after the penalty. Banish under center, takes the snap, pitches it out to the outside. Larson got some running room out there, tries to cut it back, still on his feet as he makes his way out across the 15 before he's finally wrapped up and brought down right there by a hefty few Oberlin defenders. Tyler Osmeyer might have been the first one to get there. It was fourth down and 20 right there for third down and 20, but they cut it down a little bit. Fourth down and 13. Larson with a nice 70-yard rush. Probably the most positive rush tonight for the Wildcats. 2:33 and counting to go in the first quarter of play. Fourth down and 13 here for the Wildcats. We're going for it from the Oberlin Red Devil 15-yard line. It'll be Benish under center. Rangins back there along with Corby. Takes the snap, fakes the handoff once, twice. Now he's rolling out to his right, still looking for a man. Now he'll just take off and run, and he's wrapped up and brought down by Caden Sowers. Maybe pushed out of bounds before anything. The clock will stop with 2:11 to go, and the Red Devils will take over on downs after Benish was able to gain maybe a yard, but he needed to get all the way inside the 5 to about the 2, and the Red Devils will get the football back. So a turnover on downs for the Wildcats, who got somehow saved by a miraculous reception by Gage Cox, as Benish was able to rush for two there to get to the 13, and that's where the Red Devils will start their next possession. First down and 10 from the 13-yard line, 2:11 to go here in quarter number one. Willoughby will go under center. Patton Gall at the tip of the eye. Takes the snap, pitches it out. Patton Gall got some running room. He's at the 10. Cuts back there, still on his feet as he makes his way out to the 15-yard line before he's pushed out of bounds. And that'll bring up second down. So second down here and 8 after the pickup of 2 for the Red Devils. So second down and 8. 2:04 to go with the first quarter of play. Patton Gall ran out of bounds, was pushed, kind of ran out of bounds actually. Pushed out of bounds there, I should say. So out of the shotgun here will be Willoughby. As a man on his hip, that's Patton Gall. Sowers is on the line, but a heavy front. Takes the snap, hands it off, cutting back. Patton Gall still on his feet. Meets a couple of tacklers before he's finally wrapped up and brought down. Had some blockers in front of him, and he ran into them as well. And we have a timeout on the field that will be taken by the Red Devils. Brings up third down after a nice pickup right there. Timeout on the field, minute 56 to go here in the first quarter of play. We'll keep it right here on 101.1 KFNF. Red Devils in front 14-0. Two pretty big plays on the first play of scrimmage for the second week in a row. The Red Devils score on the first play from scrimmage, this time on a 57-yard touchdown pass and catch from Gage Willoughby to Caden Sowers. Then on their next drive, they went 3-and-out, got the football back after a fumble from the Wildcats, and after going backwards a little bit due to some mental errors and some penalties, 3rd and 13, they hand it off to Patton Gall. He makes a couple of cuts, and he's into the end zone for a touchdown. That's kind of a quick recap here of this first quarter. 14-0, 1:56 to go in the first quarter of play, as Patton Gall was able to pick up 6 on that last play, as the Red Devils looking to continue this drive and milk some clock all the way into the second quarter. Up 14-0 here. The Wildcats, for the first time, their last offensive possession, really got some things going. It was a 35-yard pass and catch that Jesse Henriksen had as a pick, and Gage Cox came down at the same time with him, ripped it out of his hands, and was able to stumble forward for a couple of more yards. Now the Red Devils will have it out of the timeout. Third down and 2, 1:56 to go in the first quarter of play. Under center is Willoughby. Patton Gall at the tip of the eye takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall runs it right up the middle, and he's able to get the first down and move the sticks with a nice pickup there of needed 2, and he was able to get 3 yards. So Josiah again being the workhorse, and you heard Coach Hardwick say that they were kind of joking with him in track season, like, hey, you better be ready to carry it 30, 40 times a night. Did that last week, carried it 34 times for 342 yards. He's already got 7 carries here in the first quarter for 52. 1:36 to go in the first quarter of play. Red Devils in front 14-0 with the football at their own 24-yard line. First down and 10. Willoughby will go out of the shotgun here, and Oberlin finally is going to be able to set up. They kind of got a heavy set to the right. Patton Gall on the hip, takes this snap, hands it off. Patton Gall cuts back, following his blockers. He's got some running room to the 30, still on his feet, and he's finally going to be wrapped up and brought down. Flags come in, one from one side of the field, the other from the nearest official towards the Oberlin sideline, as Patton Gall was able to make his way out across the 30, nearing the 35, and it'll go against the Wildcats. So a face mask called on the Wildcats, and that'll tack on a few more from the run. As they say, Patton Gall was able to get out to about the 34, so this will take it all the way across into Wildcat territory, and they'll mark it at the 31, 29-yard line. So Patton Gall picked up 10 on the run, and then they add 15 more after that, and it takes it deep into Wildcat territory. First down and 10 from the Wildcat 29-yard line after the 15-yard penalty with a face mask. Willoughby will go out of the shotgun again here. Got a man on his hip, takes the snap, and they were looking to throw there. Patton Gall was in the backfield with him. Sowers took off down the field and might have been wide open right from the start, but instead they'll mark him back 5 yards. So after they got 15, it really nets to 10 because they just lose 5 there on the first down play as the Red Devils go offsides or with a false start. That's the fourth penalty for 25 for the Red Devils. Wildcats 3 for 30. 14-0, Oberlin, 1:13 to go with the first quarter of play. Red Devils looking to strike maybe here before the quarter break as they've got it at the Wildcat 34. Out of the shotgun, Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off to Sowers on the inbound. He cuts back up the middle, trying to juke some defenders for finally 4 or 5, make it 6 guys from the Wildcats come, and they'll mark him with forward progress just across the 30-yard line. So a great pickup of about 44 yards there for Caden Sowers, and it'll bring up second down and about 11 here for the Red Devils with 51 ticks left in the first quarter of play. So Caden Sowers able to get around on the end around there as he picks up 4. 37 seconds left here in the first quarter of play. Second down and 11. Red Devils will have to kind of run one more play here before the end of the quarter. Willoughby out of the shotgun. He's got a man on his hip. Willoughby takes the snap, rolling out to his right. Willoughby just throwing it up down the field, looking for Caden Sowers, trying to come back to the ball. But in great coverage out there was Braylon Raines, as they were just running a little streak down the right side of the field. And he had him maybe just for a second at about the 15. Then Raines came back to him. And Sowers tried to come back to the ball at the 5, but it was just a little bit short. That'll bring up third down and 11. Interesting play call there for Hardwick. Was wanting to maybe get a little bit of a deep shot there after it worked a couple of times. Once Gage overthrew Caden, and the other time he hit him for a 57-yard pass and catch. But that time, just threw it a little underneath. Raines was never looking at the ball, but just stuck his hands up in the air and caused a little bit of deflection as well. Third down at 11 for the Red Devils, 21.8 seconds to go. Willoughby will go under center. Patton Gall is at the tip of the eye, Sowers between them. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off to Patton Gall. He's got running room at the 30 to the 35, still on 30 to the 25, excuse me, still on his feet before he's finally wrapped up and brought down. And he'll make that decision to go for it on fourth down a lot easier here for head coach Brandon Hardwick. And they'll get a whole quarter break to think about it. Fourth down and about 5 for the Red Devils when we come back. One quarter in the books. Red Devils in front, 14-0. It's Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
It's costing more and more to fill up your gas tank these days. When you pay at the pump at Decatur Co-op, you pay less, and you don't have to be a member to enjoy great competitive rates. Decatur Co-op has pay at the pump in Lenora, Jennings, Oberlin, and Herndon, Kansas, along with Danbury, Nebraska. Plus, you don't have to worry about whether it's cash or credit. All prices are the same, and Decatur Co-op accepts all major credit cards and the Decatur Co-op Association card. Next time, fill up at Decatur Co-op.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high-moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn, anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field. One quarter in the books, and it's the Oberlin Red Devils in front again here, 14-0. And off the first play, it's Patton Gall with a direct snap to him. He's cutting back, still on his feet. Was he able to get out across the first down marker? And it looks like he was. They went with a direct snap right to him, and he was able to pick up enough. He needed six there and was able to take it out. They had it at the 24, and now they mark it at about the 16-yard line, so he needed six, needed four, and picked up eight. So out of the shotgun here, it's Patton Gall running the Wildcat. Sowers on his hip, two receivers to the right, takes the snap. Patton Gall looking to throw, has the man, it's Gage Willoughby in the back of the end zone for the touchdown from 16 yards out, and the Red Devils extend their lead. It's 20-0 with 11:28 to go. Josiah Patton Gall getting in on the throwing motion there as he cashes it in from 16 yards out. So the Red Devils will try to make it 22-0 here with the two-point conversion. What a pass and catch there from Josiah Patton Gall to Gage Willoughby. 16-yard touchdown run, touchdown pass. 11:28 to go here in the second quarter of play. Out of the shotgun is Willoughby. He takes the snap. QB run off the right side looking to get the edge. Now he dives for the pylon, and he gets in for the two-point conversion to make it 22-0 with 11:28 to go. Red Devils out in front, 22-0. It's Oberlin Red Devil football here on 101.1 KFNF.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real health care, which means they're always working to improve health care outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a bronze award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the healthcare professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field, where the Red Devils add another score, make it 22-0. This one comes through the air again, a 16-yard touchdown pass and catch from Josiah Patton Gall to Gage Willoughby. The two-point conversion was good on the Willoughby run, and the Red Devils lead it by a score of 22-0 here, and they'll come out to kick this one away. So the Red Devils with a great start to the second quarter as they had a crucial fourth down and six. Needed 4 yards, needed 6 yards. That's all Josiah Patton Gall needed. He ended up picking eight, so he was able to get an extra couple. And then the next play, he throws it for 16 yards, and now Garrett Emick will kick it away. And Emick will send a high end-over-end boot that will go to the middle of the football field, picked up there by Manish. He's on the run to the outside, breaking tackles, and he finally makes his way out to about the 25 before Jesse Hendrickson lays him into the turf. And with 11:24 to go, Wallace County will have the football back. Wallace County just once tonight has made their way into Oberlin Red Devil territory. Came just on one big play, a 35-yard pass and catch that Gage Cox somehow wrangled away from Hendrickson after he had himself a pick. And Wallace County so far on the night with 46 yards of total offense, but just six on the ground. And that's where they want to live, on the ground. And they have been having a tough time to do it tonight. The Red Devils have done a great job playing sound assignment football, especially with all the options and the jet sweeps and everything that Wallace County has been wanting to run. But Ish will go out of the shotgun. He's got Corby on the right hip. Receivers out to either side. Takes the snap. Hands it off. He's blasted in the backfield by Rustin Bailey. But flags came in first. Rustin shoved him back. That would have been a major loss of about 5 yards. And what do we have? False start called on the Wildcats, so that'll mark him back 5 yards. Coach Kefeller, who if you've been watching a lot of Wallace County football over the past couple of years, really has prided himself on how sound and just well-coached his team has been. And tough night in that department with the penalties anyway. They've had a pretty good, you know, start at some points, but Wallace County, the run game, it just hasn't been able to get going. They had that big play, couldn't take care of it one time, fumbling the football away. Second down and 15 after the loss of five on the penalty. So four penalties for 35 yards now for the Wildcats. Benish will go out of the shotgun formation. He's got Corby on his hip. Receivers out to either side. QB run the pitch, and he barely gets it off to Corby. Almost fumbled it. He pitched it. It bounced off the grass right into Corby's fingertips, luckily. He was able to get back to the line of scrimmage, maybe with a loss. Rustin Bailey, Garrett Emmett, a couple of others wrangling him down to the far side of the field. And so they say he was, it was a backwards pass, or it was just an incomplete pass. And that's what they're saying there. So an incomplete pass instead of a pitch, because Corby must have been in front of him. If he was behind him, would have been a backwards pass. But they've got third down and 14 on the scoreboard. Third and 15 still, excuse me. Takes the snap. Looking to run is Benicio. Avoids a defender. Osmeyer running him down. Now he just finally throws it away as it was Theo Butterfield coming in to try to wrap him up and bring him down. He's getting up a bit slow. Hopefully he's going to be okay. And now he's taking his time there as he lays out at about the 15-yard line. Kemper Benish was not expecting all of the Oberlin defense to come right after him there, and they did when he rolled out to the right. So it'll bring up fourth down and 15, and Theo, hopefully he's going to be okay as he's kind of crouched over there at about the 15-yard line. 22-0, 10:28 to go here before halftime. Let's take some time here to thank some of our sponsors tonight. AquaShield Roofing, Creative Collision, Decatur Co-op, Decatur Health, Farm Credit of Western Kansas, FNB Bank of Oberlin, and Frederickson Insurance Agency. Big thank you to all of them for helping support Oberlin Red Devil Athletics. And Theo Butterfield is now rolled over onto his back there at about the 15-yard line. Hopefully he's going to be okay. 10:28 to go here before halftime. 22-0. Red Devils just got back on the scoreboard with a nice pass and catch for a touchdown there. Benish, on that play, broke a tackle from one man, rolled out to his right. Tyler Osmeyer dove at his feet. He missed him. And then it was Theo Butterfield that wrapped him up, brought him down. But Benish was able to throw it at the last second before bringing up another down. And now Theo will stand up. And he's going to run his way off the field, looking like he's going to be okay. Might have just got the wind knocked out of him, too, the way he was kind of finagling around, because he pops right back up. He's looking okay there, and, yeah, he's kind of holding the chest. And if you've ever had the wind knocked out of you, it does not feel good. Does not feel good at all. Can't breathe. Kind of don't know where you're at. But looks like he's going to be okay, hopefully, and that's a good sign for the Red Devils. And it'll be Benish to punt this one away. Sends a high end over end boot. It'll take a bounce at about the 35 and make its way inside the 30. And that's where the Wildcats' Jensen Vandeke will run it down and down it. And so the Red Devils will have first down and 10 from the 29-yard line of their own. So the Red Devils out in front 22-0, and this Red Devil offense is off to a great start. They have 90 points through two games, now add on 22 to that. That is the most since 2003 when the Red Devils had 91 through their first two games, and now the Red Devils are out in front 22-0 here to start. Caden Shaw runs on as the center, kind of late, but does get the play. 10:22 to go, first down and 10 for the Red Devils from the 29-yard line. Out of the shotgun formation, it's Willoughby. QB run, he cuts back, gets back to the original line of scrimmage, dives forward for maybe a half yard or a yard, and it'll bring up second down and about 9 after the pickup of 1 there for Gage Willoughby. Gage showed a little bit of that speed last week, kind of on that play where it's a direct snap to him. He's got no one around him and has to wait for his blockers. And he's able to pick up about a half yard, maybe, if you want to call it that. So maybe not a true yard, but it does still I'd still call it second down and 10, too. Second down and 10, ball placed right at the 30-yard line. Willoughby will go under center, out of the I formation again of the Red Devils. Heavy set to the left. Patton Gall at the tip, takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall wrapped up in the backfield and brought down. Travis Corby went right through the line and was the first one to get him, wrapped him up, threw him over the right hip and down for a loss. First time the Red Devils really this season have went backwards on a run like that to Patton Gall, and it'll bring up third down and 11. So they do lose about a yard there, does Patton Gall. And now Brandon Hardwick kind of maybe looking at the play sheet thinking, what do we call here? Third down and 11 from the 29-yard line of their own. Willoughby will go under center. He's got Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gall is on the right hip of Sowers. Heavy set off to the left. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off to Sowers on a little fullback trap. He's able to make his way out across the 30, almost broke it. He was able to break that original tackle there from Corby, but Corby, the senior, was able to hold on to him with all dear life and wrangle him down. It'll bring up fourth down and about eight after the pickup of three, and the Red Devils are going to have to punt this one away. So Caden Sowers tried to get him a little bit closer there, but just not enough for Brandon Hardwick to say, hey, let's go for it. Fourth and eight, got to have a pretty good play there drawn up. So just as quickly as the Red Devils got it there, they give it right back on a three and out, 8:14 to go in the second quarter. Sowers back to punt. It'll be Tyler Osmeyer to snap it, and it's a great snap. Sowers now just waiting. He'll finally punt it away, and it goes off the side of his foot, and it'll take a nice Oberlin Red Devil bounce across the 20 inside the 15, and that's where they'll finally down it. Sowers was taking as long as he could to punt that thing away. He was waiting for his coverage to get down there with Kemper Benish back there receiving the punt. Kemper has got some legs on him, and so they waited for a second, but it goes off the side of his foot and rolls all the way inside the 15-yard line, and that's where Wallace County will start here with 7:57 to go before the halftime break. 22-0, Oberlin in front. They've scored once in the quarter on that 16-yard pass and catch from Josiah Patton Gall to Gage Willoughby. Now Wallace County back out there once again. First down and 10. They call it from the 13. Benish under center, takes the snap, hands it off. No, he's going to keep it, runs it out to the right side, left side. Still got some runner trying to cut back, ball pops out, and the Red Devils might have fallen on top of it. Second fumble today for the Wildcats, and it'll set up the Red Devils inside the 10-yard line. Benish trying to reverse field at his last second, and instead he coughs up the football. Caden Sowers comes up with it, and the Red Devils will have first down and 10 inside the 10-yard line. So the second fumble of the night for the Wildcats. Very uncharacteristic of them to turn it over. 7:46 to go. Red Devils have first and goal from the 8-yard line, trying to punch in their second touchdown of the quarter. Out of the shotgun, it'll be Patton Gall to take the snap here. He's got Sowers on his hip, two receivers out to the right. Willoughby and Savage takes the snap, looking to throw, still looking, throws it up, and he was looking for Willoughby maybe coming back to the pylon there on the right side of the field, and instead throws an incompletion, and that'll bring up second down and goal. So you can only go one for one for a touchdown pass for so long, and instead, he's now 1-of-2 for 16 yards and a touchdown pass is Patton Gall. Second down and 8. Second down and goal from the 8-yard line, I should say, for the Red Devils. Patton Gall again out of the shotgun. He'll take the snap. Sowers on his hip. Two receivers to the left looking to throw. Still looking. He throws it up, and it'll be picked off in the end zone. And Gage Cox is trying to run it out, and then he will down it for a touchback. And he tried to attempt to get it out, and the Red Devils almost came in and brought him down. Luckily, they didn't rule that a safety there, but Gage Cox comes in with the interception. Interesting there for the Red Devils to go with a pass inside the 10, and that'll bring up a turnover for the Red Devils. So that'll bring up first down and 10 here for the Wildcats, who downed it in the end zone, so it's just like downing it on a kickoff. So they'll have it first down and 10 from the 15-yard line. Their last snap, they fumbled it away. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. 7:35 to go before halftime. Badish out of the shotgun, takes the snap. He's looking, throws it out, and the flat. The pass is caught out there. A flag will come in. And what are they going to call here? Personal foul. Roughing the passer called on the Red Devils. So that'll be a personal foul. And move it up 15 yards. The Red Devils sent about everybody, and they were going after Benish. You could see that maybe happening at some point. And so that'll take this all the way out. First down and 10 now from the 30 after they give them 15 yards after the incompletion. There might have been completed, but that completion is negated due to the fact that it was a personal foul penalty. So first down and 15, first down and 10 from the 30. Badish out of the shotgun. Receiver out to either side. Takes the snap, looking, trying to throw it out of the flat. Cox comes right back to it, and he's able to pick up about 5 yards as he makes his way out to the 35. So Kemper Badish able to connect with Gage Cox for a second time tonight. For 5 yards, brings up second down and 5. 7:09 to go in the second quarter of play and counting. Red Devils in front 22-0. Had it second down and goal inside the 8-yard line. And Josiah Pattengall throws his second interception of the season. And now Wallace County trying to use that to their advantage and get on the scoreboard. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Out of the shotgun here is Benesh. He takes the snap, looking to throw. Slides into the pass and picked off by Caden Sowers at the 35, streaking down the sideline, 5, 10, he's in for the touchdown, pick 6, 28-0, Red Devils. Caden Sowers, interception return for the ages, pick 6, and the Red Devils lead it 28-0, and the defense gets them on the scoreboard for the second time in the quarter. So Caden Sowers read that like a book, as he knew he was going to go out there into the flat, tried to throw it out there, and Sowers was right there to pick it off, ran it back up the right sideline. Gage Willoughby flips it out here to Pattengall, trying to get the outside, and he will as he goes around the pylon for the two-point conversion, and the Red Devils lead it 30-0. 6:37 to go before the break. We'll take a break. Red Devils in front, 30-0. It's Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF.
Farm Credit of Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit of Western Kansas is community-driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or at one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
FNB Bank in Oberlin, you're getting a dedicated team of professionals who prioritize your financial needs. They offer the convenience of online and telephone banking, plus debit cards that make transactions seamless. And when they say team, they mean a tradition of trust and reliability. They're here to support you long after you open your account. So when it comes to banking, be confident knowing FNB Bank will go the extra mile for you. FNB Bank in Oberlin. Visit them online at fnbbank.com.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field. 30-0. The Red Devils out in front with 6:32 to go here before halftime. A 30-yard interception return from Caden Sowers put some fireworks on the scoreboard. Red Devils now with two scores in each quarter, and they lead it 30-0 here with 6:32 to go. And looking to get that football back is the defense after they just picked it off and took it back for 6 points. Benish will go out of the shotgun here. He's got a man on his hip. That's Corby. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. First down and 10 from the 29-yard line of their own. Benish awaits the snap, takes it at the thighs. Now he's looking to throw. Pumps rolling out to his right, fires it over the middle of the field. He was looking for Richardson down there and tried to slip it behind him. Richardson didn't really read it right, and so the pass will fall incomplete. So interception, incompletion, not the way Coach Kefeller maybe wanted those last two passes to go. So 6:26 to go here before halftime. 30-0, Oberlin out in front. Looking to go 2-1 here for the first time since 2021. Benish will go out of the shotgun. He's got two receivers to the right, one to the left, a man on his hip. Takes the snap, quick throw out there under the flat, caught by Reigns. He makes his way out across the 30-yard line, nearing the 35 before he's wrapped up and brought down by Josiah Pattengall. That'll bring up third down. So third down at about 6 or 5 is what they're actually going to call it after the pickup of 5 through the air. From Benish to Reigns. Third down and 5 here for the Wildcats from the 34-yard line. 5:55 to go in the second quarter of play before we head into the locker rooms. Red Devils trying to maybe get it back and get one more score here before the break. Got to come up with a big stop. Third down and 5 from the Wildcat 34-yard line. Benish out of the shotgun. Two receivers to the right, one to the left. He's got Corby on his hip of the backfield. Benish takes the snap. Benish rolling out to his right. Still rolling. Pursued by Emick. Loses him. Now we'll just have to throw it out of bounds as he's pushed out there. Running him down was Rustin Bailey. Garrett Emick had a shot at him first. And it ends in an incompletion. It'll bring up fourth down and 5 in decision time for Coach Kyle Gefeller. And no, they're going to say he actually stepped out of bounds first. So they're going to say he stepped out of bounds first for a loss of 5. It'll bring up fourth down in 10. So don't mark it as an incompletion. Mark it as a loss of 5 for Kemper Benish. As they say, he stepped out of bounds first before he threw that pass away. And now Benish will punt it. It's almost blocked, and it'll be taken by Hendrickson to the 40. Got some running room to the 35, 30 before he's pushed out of bounds. I think someone get a hand on that? Maybe they did. If not, went off the side of the foot of Benish. And Hendrickson, who was kind of an up man, just reached up out of the sky, brought it down, and took off running, and was able to get a good chunk of yards there as Hendrickson takes it out across into Red Devil territory inside the 30, just in front of the 25 at about the 27-yard line. And that's where the Red Devils will start with the football. 5:22 to go here before we head to the locker rooms for the halftime adjustments. Red Devils in front 30-0. Just got their last touchdown on the pick 6 from Caden Sowers, the freshman making his presence known, especially on the defensive side. He's at run the fullback spot here. Out of the I formation, Willoughby. First down and 10 from the 27. Takes the snap, handoff. Pattengall cuts back, breaks some tackles. 20, 15, 10, 5. And he's finally wrapped up and brought down from behind. Pattengall just waited for a second for everyone to kind of go around him, and then he just took off with a bunch of speed to the right side, turned the corner, and almost got into the end zone. So a big gain, they'll say. They'll mark him out just a little bit in front of the 5. Actually, it looked like he got inside, but they say he went out of bounds just in front. 20-yard pickup for Josiah Pattengall, and the Red Devils will have the football first down and goal from the 70-yard line. Red Devils looked to pass out of this situation the last time they had first and goal. This time looks like they're going to run it out of the I formation. Takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall met at the line, still on his feet as he dives his way inside the 5. And again, there he does a great job of just surveying the field, taking a stutter step, letting your blocks get in front of you, and then hitting a gap or a hole as he's able to pick up a few yards, gets it inside the 5. It'll bring up second down and goal from the 2 after the pickup of 5 from Josiah Pattengall. And with 4:51 to go in the second quarter of play, the Red Devils have the football, second down and goal from the 2-yard line in front, 30-0, looking to punch in their third score of the second quarter. So Willoughby will go under center. He's got Sowers directly behind him. Pattengall off the right hip of Sowers. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off, fullback trap, and Sowers will break to the outside, finally sneaks his way in for the 2-yard touchdown. And Caden Sowers runs it in from 2 yards out for his third touchdown of the season. The Red Devils lead it 36-0. So the third score of the second quarter for the Red Devils, and they make it 36-0 here with 4:28 to go. Patton Gall runs the play in, gives it off here, and the Red Devils going for two. 36-0, trying to make it 38-0. Willoughby will go under center. Sowers directly behind him. Patton Gall off the hip, takes the snap. They run the same play, and the same thing happens as he turns the corner around the right side and gets in for the two-point conversion. 4:28 to go here in quarter number two before we head to the locker rooms. It is Red Devils in front 38-0 here on 101.1 KFNF.
Murphy Farm, mark your calendars for September 30th. That's the last day to make changes to your crop insurance plan. Frederickson Insurance Agency in Oberlin knows buying crop insurance can be complicated. With your current farming conditions, you need to be at the correct insurance level with your operation. So bring in your projected acres and let Frederickson Insurance Agency help you plan your insurance. Remember, the deadline is September 30th. Protect your farm. Come to Frederickson Insurance Agency, next to the Landmark Inn in downtown Oberlin.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back, and a perfect homecoming night here for the Red Devils. Still got to take care of some more business. Up 38-0 with 4:28 to go in the second quarter of play. But so far, it's been so good for Coach Hardwick's squad as they have had caused three turnovers for the Wildcats tonight. A couple of fumbles and an interception return for a touchdown from Caden Sowers, who just punched it in from 2 yards out for the Red Devils as they take the lead. Extend their lead, I should say, 38-0. Here's an end-over-end kick that Benish will take off the right side. Got some running room to the 35, at the 25 to the 30, out to the 35 before he's finally pushed out of bounds. And with 4:23 to go here in the second quarter of play, Wildcats will take over with the football, first down and 10. So the Wildcat offense here tonight has just been having a rough evening, especially on the ground. 9 carries for 1 yard. Do have 8 passes for 50 yards, though. And so Coach Gefeller, really on that last drive especially, kind of tried to go out of the pass this time. Benish will go under center, a little of a formation eye. Takes the snap. Now it's a pitch out to Benish. Benish looking to run to the outside. Cuts back there. Out across the line of scrimmage for a gain. Coming in to take the snap was Gage Cox, and Cox pitched it out quickly to Benish, who ran it off the left side there. It was Benish that came in last year at the quarterback spot against Oberlin and kind of won the job for the next couple of weeks with his play. Here tonight, he's been having a tough night escaping the Oberlin Red Devil defense, as they have just been pounding him there in the backfield. He hasn't been able to get open really at all, as they call it a gain of 0 there for Benish on the toss sweep to him. And now it'll be Cox to take the snap again. Corby directly behind him, hands it off to him. Corby gets it, cuts back, and he's got some running room out across the 40 into Red Devil territory, across the 35. And if it wasn't for Talon Savage, he might have been see you later TD score. But Savage wraps him up by the feet and just is able to pick up a few yards there as they'll take it into Red Devil territory across the 35. At about the 33-yard line. So, pickup of 14 there for Corby. Probably the biggest play of the night for the Wildcats. And now, it's like we might have encroachment called on the Red Devils. And so that'll move them up 5 more yards. So, kind of been a penalty-filled night for either side. That's Oberlin's 6th penalty for 45 yards. Wildcats with 4 for 35. First down and 5 now for the Wildcats from the 28-yard line after the pickup of 14 from Corby to give them a new set of downs. Cox under center, takes the snap, and it'll be QB run up the middle. Got some running room, and then Tyler Osmeyer just stuffs him right back for a gain of a couple of yards. As it was a great job by Cox. He kind of stuttered step there in the backfield and then just took it off kind of his center guard's thigh and was able to pick up a yard or two. They'll officially mark it as 2, And so Gage Cox has done pretty much everything tonight except throw a pass. He's caught a pass and rushed. We'll bring up second down and three. You might see him throw one here as he's out of the shotgun. Man on his hip. Receiver out to either side. Takes the snap. Cox was looking to throw quickly out there to the right, but instead they'll be marked back 5 yards due to offsides or false start being called. And so that'll bring up second down and 8 now here for the Wildcats. Just on the other side of the 30, ball placed at the 29-yard line of the Red Devils. 2:07 to go here in the second quarter. 38-0 Red Devils trying to get it back and punch one in here before the halftime break. Out of the shotgun is Cox. Receiver out to either side. Corby on his hip takes the snap. He's rolling out to his right. Cox still rolling. Now he's looking and trying to run. He throws it. Has Richardson caught at the 35 across the sticks of the 20. Flags come in from behind. And Benish, who might have been rocked, and looks like they're going to call a personal foul. Spearing will be called on the Red Devils, and that can mark them up 15 more yards after the pickup there. So they needed 8 and picked up about 10 is what it looks like, and they're going to add on about 15 yards at the end of this play with a minute 46 to go. And now the white hat official is talking with the line judge about the flag. The flag sits at about the 36-yard line. And the white hat now talking with head coach Brandon Hardwick. As it was Garrett Emick that came in and kind of laid a hit there. So they are going to call a personal foul. Spearing, and so that'll move them up 15 more yards there from that spot after they gained 10 through the air. So Cox with a completion barely got it out there to Richardson at the last second. And with a minute 46 to go, they'll have first down and 10 from just across the 10 at about the 11. Cox takes the snap, hands it off. This is to Benish. He's trying to cut back, and instead he's going to be wrapped up and brought down and then thrown down. And Garrett Emick loses his helmet, and he took him out over. And they're going to call unsportsmanlike conduct, and they have kicked him out of the game. So Garrett Emick not happy at all with the call, and Coach Kyle Breath is talking with him. As he had Benish wrapped up, and they must have started blowing the whistle. So personal foul, unsportsmanlike conduct, and he has been kicked out of the contest. So tough loss there for the Red Devils with a minute and 41 seconds to go. That's when Garrett Emick has been kicked out of the ball game. So they'll mark this inside the 5 at about the 3. Cox out of the shotgun. He'll take the snap. Cox rolling out to his right, looking to throw back across the middle, and it'll almost picked off by Talon Savage, but it'll bring up second down and goal. So they marked it half the distance to the goal there after the back-to-back penalties. And so it makes it first down and second. It made it first and goal from the 3. Now it's second and goal after they went there for the pass across the middle. Second down and goal. 1:27 to go here in the first half of play. It'll be Cox under center. Cox takes the snap, pitches it out, almost wrapped up and brought down. Now Benish trying to get to the outside, and he won't be able to. Flying in and almost getting him for a loss was Sowers. Then he was able to take off, and he's finally wrapped up on the near side of the field by Gus Emick and Theodore Butterfield. And it'll bring up third down and goal. Can the Red Devils come up with a huge stop here right before the half? 1:06 to go, trying to keep the Wildcats out of the end zone. Third and goal, under a minute left here before we head to the locker rooms. Cox will go out of the shotgun. He's got Corby on his hip, a receiver out to the left, one to the right. Now he goes under center. Corby just directly behind him. He takes the snap, hands it off. Corby stutter step, still on his feet, diving for the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Third effort, and he finally gets in after the loss of 3 there on that second down and goal play. For Benish, and he made it third and goal from the six, and they run it in from 6 yards out with Travis Corby. And so the shutout will come to an end for the Red Devils with 44.3 seconds to go before halftime. And so Cox will go under center. He's got Benish at the tip of the eye. Takes the snap, hands it off to Corby, who's wrapped up and brought down. So he was going to go nowhere. That's what the Red Devils wish they could have got there on that last play. But the Wildcats get on the scoreboard with 44.3 seconds to go here in the first half. It is Oberlin 38, Wallace County 6 on 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rob Hens, and we are proud to have served our community for the past 20 years. And boy, has surgical techniques changed. Gone are the days of large incisions and weeks in a CAM boot. Now I can perform these surgeries through a tiny 2-millimeter incision, and you can walk out on your own 2 feet with only a Band-Aid. Your first step towards better health is to call High Plains Podiatry.
A step towards better health, High Plains Podiatry.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Back here with Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF. 44.3 seconds to go in the half. And mark it down. Garrett Emmett kicked out of the ball game with a minute and 41 seconds to go after he picked up an ish and threw him on the turf. And the Red Devils and the officiating crew thought that was a little too much, especially after the spearing call. So they kicked him out of the contest. Tough night for Garrett on that end, especially on homecoming night, you know, being a senior and stuff like that. Tough night in that sense, but Garrett was having a heck of a game before that. It'll be Benish to kick this one away. He sends a nice end-over-end liner boot that'll take a bounce at the 10. Patton Gall will pick it up at the 5. He's got some running room out to the left side, still on his feet at the 20. To the 25, cuts back there, 30, 35, 40, 45 to the 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, see you later! Touchdown from 75 yards out on the kick return, and the Red Devils make it 44-6 with 32.6 seconds to go. And oh no, is it coming back? And holding called on the Red Devils at the 40-yard line. So Josiah Pattengall, oh my goodness. So it has been a night of penalties in this first half, and it has made this first half go on for what has felt like forever. 32.6 seconds to go, and the touchdown will be taken off the board for Josiah Pattengall, who now has got to catch his breath, go back into the huddle as they take a 75-yard touchdown run off the scoreboard due to a holding. The hold occurred right at about the 40, so they'll mark it first down and 10 for the Red Devils from their own 30-yard line. Willoughby will go under center here with 32.6 seconds to go. Pattengall at the tip of the eye. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off. Pattengall still on his feet. He's at the 30, 35, 40. Trying to cut back there against Benish. He's still on his feet at the 30-yard line into Wildcat territory, and he's finally wrapped up and brought down. The clock will move as soon as the chains are moved, and now a timeout will be taken by head coach Brandon Hardwick. So Josiah Pattengall taking it from the 30 of his own to the 30 of the Wildcats with a huge pickup right there on first down after he just got a 75-yard touchdown run called back on the kick return as he picks up 20 on that play. Do have a timeout on the field. We'll keep it right here. 38-6, Red Devils out in front with 24.1 seconds to go before the break. Like to thank some more of our sponsors today, High Plains Podiatry, J.D. Skiles, Next Tech, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Oberlin, R&M Service Center, Ray's Grocery, The Bank in downtown Oberlin, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, VAP Construction, and Ward Drug Store. Big thank you to all of them for helping support Oberlin Red Devil Athletics here on 101.1 KFNF. 38-6, 24.1 seconds to go before the halftime break. And the Red Devils, after Pattengall's 75-yard touchdown run, called back via a holding, as that is now the Red Devils' eighth penalty for 70 yards in this first half. 24.1 seconds to go before the halftime break. 38-6. Red Devils will have the football out of their own timeout. Willoughby will go under center here. He's got Sowers directly behind him. And then off to the right there is Patton Gall in the backfield. Willoughby from the 30 takes the snap, hands it off. Sowers, he's wrapped up and brought down. Still on his feet. Forward progress might get him back to the line of scrimmage. Bodies flying everywhere after the play comes. And Coach Hardwick will call a timeout with 14.4 seconds to go, as the Red Devils will have second down, and they're going to mark him back a good few, probably three or four. It'll bring up second down and 14. Tough loss there for Caden Sowers as he tried to just take it right up the middle there and was forced back right away. They'll call it actually just an official loss of three. So 14.4 seconds to go here before we go to the halftime break. Red Devils in front 38-6. They've scored three times in the quarter. Just gave up their first touchdown of the contest on that Tyler Corby 6-yard touchdown run. Now the Red Devils with 14 seconds to go will have to draw something up as they'll have second and 13 from the Wildcat 33-yard line. Red Devils trying to punch another one in here before the half, especially in the two-minute drill. And last week, the Red Devils against Dighton with less than two minutes, you really used the run to their advantage, and they did there to start it out with a great run from Josiah Pattengall, but that run got stuffed to Sowers on the fullback trap. It'll be Josiah Pattengall to take the snap. He'll go out of the shotgun. He's got Willoughby to the right, Savage off to the left, Sowers on his hip, and the Wildcats looking like they're sending about everybody here. Pattengall takes the snap. He's looking, dropping back to pass. Throws a long deep ball. Has Gage Willoughby at the goal line. The pass is caught. Oh my goodness, what a passing catch for 32 yards. The cannon goes off. They thought he was in the end zone, but he's going to be a couple of yards short. But what a throw and what an arm from Josiah Pattengall. He can do it all. So that'll pick up 31 through the air. Pattengall to Willoughby. That's the second time that combination has worked. The first one went for a touchdown. We'll call it actually 30 officially, and it's first down and goal for the Red Devils with 7.1 seconds to go. Willoughby will go out of the I formation. It's Pattengall at the tip of the eye. First and goal for the Red Devils from the 3. 7.1 seconds to go before the halftime break. Takes a snap, hands off Pattengall. Up the middle, he's wrapped up and brought down. He's stretching across for the touchdown. And the Red Devils extend the lead to 44-6 here before the break. So Josiah Pattengall can make this a 40-point game with a two-point conversion, or a Red Devil can make it a make it a 40-point game. We'll see if they give it off to Pattengall. 44-6, and it all stems from a 30-yard pass and catch through the air. Pattengall dropped back, looked like Roger Staubach back there, dropping all the way back, took an 8, 9, 10-yard drop and just heaved it up. Was looking for Willoughby right at the pylon. He came back to it at the 2 and was able to make the catch. Here's the snap. Willoughby looking to throw as a man. It's Osmeyer in the end zone for the two-point conversion. And the Red Devils make it an even 40-point lead with 2.1 seconds to go before the break. We'll take a timeout. 2.1 seconds left here before halftime. Red Devils in front 46-6 on 101.1 KFNF.
Forget the flashy ads and gimmicks. Farmers, you need fertilizer equipment you can trust. J.D. Skiles in Atwood, Kansas delivers what truly matters. Integrity and innovation. From custom fertilizer trailers and pit stop chemical systems to liquid fertilizer systems, they've got it all. Need more efficient spraying equipment? They have the most innovative ATV and UTV sprayers available. No frills, just quality. Visit them online at jdskiles.com or 101 Grant Street in Atwood, Kansas today. JD Skiles, where farming meets excellence without compromise.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smith Memorial Field. Red Devils getting ready to kick this one off after a 3-yard touchdown run that was set up on a 30-yard passing catch from Josiah Pattengall to Gage Willoughby. And then Willoughby threw the 2-point conversion touchdown pass to Tyler Ostmeyer in the back of the end zone to put the Red Devils in front 46-6. So a 40-point lead for the Red Devils here at the break. Now it's a nice end-over-end squip. That'll be taken. No, it goes behind the defenders of the Wildcats, and it'll finally drop down on the football as it was Oscar Okeson up front there who had a chance to field it, and then he just falls on top of the football after it went behind him, and that was almost kind of the same situation the Red Devils ran into last week when Dighton, the ball went forward. They didn't receive it. Oberlin landed on top of it, and that would have been one heck of a way to end the first half. But now we'll see what Coach Kefeller wants to do with 2.1 seconds to go before halftime, down 46-6. It'll be Gage Cox to take the snap. Cox under center, takes it, hands it off to Benesch. He cuts back, and he's wrapped up and brought down. So how about a loss before we go to the break? A loss of two, and we head to the break here at Smith Memorial Field. It is Oberlin over Wallace County, 46-6. We'll take a break and be back with more. Second half, we'll be back with our halftime numbers and then be back with second half action here on 101.1 KFNF. Red Devils in front, 46-6.
Are you looking for the best internet service in town? Look no further than Nextech, your local provider that offers true gig speed and full fiber internet. With Nextech, your home can enjoy unlimited data and no contracts. When you need help, a Nextech employee in Kansas is ready to take your call any day of the week. Experience seamless connectivity with Nextech home internet for just $69, and your first bill is even on us. Don't settle. Visit next-tech.com to learn more.
Agriculture, a hard-working industry built by a labor of love, blood, sweat, and tears. An industry that is constantly changing at an increasing rate with not enough hours in the day. Nutrien Ag Solutions is here to help carry the burden by offering multiple financing options, in-depth soil health and productivity analysis, field-by-field seed recommendations, and industry-leading services. Nutrien, working smarter and harder. Contact your local Nutrien today.
Grill has served you pretty well and served you up some pretty tasty meals over the years. Why not treat yourself to a grill that's portable? Yeah, a Halo Grill, where smoke meets innovation. Available at R&M Service Center in Oberlin. The Prime Series of battery-powered pellet grills from Halo offers a versatile outdoor cooking solution that offers real smoke flavor and quality performance. With four different sizes available, you could even take one camping. Learn more about the Halo Grills at R&M Service Center, downtown Oberlin.
Hometown charm meets fresh market dreams. Rage Grocery in downtown Oberlin is a feast for the senses. Hand-picked produce, sizzling steaks, and hearty roasts await your dinner table. Quality soars in every aisle. And when the lunch bell rings, their deli dishes out delights that'll turn your midday meal into a culinary escape on select days. See store for details. Shopping at Rage is a breeze, leaving the heavy lifting to them as they escort your groceries right to your car. Experience the difference at Rage Grocery. Fresh, friendly, and always local. Rage Grocery in downtown Oberlin.
Banks to choose from, but there's one bank with 13 Northern Kansas locations to help your financial goals become a reality. The bank. No, not the bank. The bank that provides the needed experience you deserve. The bank's full range of banking services includes personal, commercial, and home loans, specialty ag financing, investments, and more. That's why they're the bank to go to. Come to where the difference is better. The bank. Member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi, get ready. Welcome back here from Smith Memorial Field, where they're going through homecoming festivities and all of the nominees out there looking very nice tonight with their parents out there, always looking very nice, as well as it's homecoming here in Oberlin and a great homecoming game for the Red Devils. They won the homecoming game last year over the Stockton Tigers 54-6, and it was kind of like this, if you remember that as well. The Red Devils went into the break having to play the second half. They couldn't finish it off there in the first half, as they're up 46-6 here at the break this time in this homecoming game over the Wallace County Wildcats. Let's take you through our scoring summary so far tonight. Oberlin opened it up in the first quarter of play on their first play from scrimmage for the second week in a row. They score a touchdown. This time it's through the air as Gage Willoughby hits Caden Sowers for a 57-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion run by Gage Willoughby would be no good, and it'd be 6-0 Oberlin with 11:44 to go. Oberlin would then strike again with 6:03 to go in the first quarter of play on a Josiah Patton goal, 34-yard touchdown run. The two-point conversion would be good on the Willoughby to Sowers pass and make it 14-0 Oberlin here with 6:03 to go in the first quarter of play. That would be our final score of the first quarter, and Oberlin would score four touchdowns in the second quarter of play. They got their first one with 11:28 to go when Josiah Pattengall hit Gage Willoughby on a 16-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion run from Willoughby would be good, and the Red Devils would lead it 22-0. Then with 6:37 to go, after the Red Devils and Wallace County kind of traded punts back and forth, Oberlin would finally get something going on defense. Yes, you heard that right. Caden Sowers would get a 35-yard interception return for a touchdown, taking it all the way to the house. The two-point conversion run from Pattengall would be good, and the Red Devils will lead at 30-0. They would get the football back, and Caden Sowers this time would run it in from 2 yards out with 4:28 to go in the second quarter, and the Red Devils will lead at 38-0. Then on the next drive, Wallace County would slowly kind of make their way down the field, and some penalties here or there for the Red Devils. Garrett Emick receiving the harshest couple, 2 15-yarders back-to-back, called for spearing, and then he got unsportsmanlike conduct called on him and has actually been kicked out of the game. He was kicked out with 1:41 to go there in the first half of the play. Tough night for Garrett. Feel sorry for him because it is senior night. He is, you know, a senior homecoming night. You want to play that full game and enjoy it with your buddies, and he won't be able to do that. And was called for the unsportsmanlike conduct and kicked out for the game after he tackled Benish, kind of threw him over his hip like you'd see him do on the wrestling mat. You can't blame him for that, and just kind of threw him down. The officials thought it was a little too unnecessary there, and they kicked him out. That was their judgment. I think Oberlin fans and the coaches have their own judgment. So does Wallace County. But the officials decided to have him exit the game a little bit early tonight. So no Garrett Emick for the second half for the Red Devils. But they would, the Wildcats would use kind of those penalties and some other stuff that didn't go the Red Devils' way on that drive to their advantage, and they'd punch it in with 44.3 seconds to go on a Tyler Corby 6-yard touchdown run. The two-point conversion run from Corby would be no good, and it'd be 38-6. And then you're kind of looking up there, 44.3 seconds to go. Can the Red Devils get something going? And on the kick return, it was Josiah Pattengall, took it 75 yards to the house for a touchdown, but it was called back with a hold. The Red Devils got it at the 30-yard line. Pattengall picked up 20 on his first rush. Then Sowers was knocked back for a couple of yards. The next play was Pattengall throwing it to Gage Willoughby for a second time, this time from 30 yards out to get it down to the 2, and then Josiah Pattengall would run it in from the 3-yard line. Willoughby would hit Osmeyer on the 2-point conversion try, and it'd be 46-6 here at the break. Take you through your individual stats. We'll start with the Wallace County Wildcats. Travis Corby on the night, 3 carries for 17 yards and a touchdown. Kemper Panish, 8 carries for -8 yards on the night. Terrell Larson with 2 carries for 9 yards, and Gage Cox with 1 carry for 2 yards. Kemper Panish throwing the football tonight, 4 of 8 for 50 yards, does have an interception. Gage Cox throwing the football, he is 1 of 2 for 10 yards. Preston Richardson, 1 reception for 10 yards. Travis Corby, 1 reception for 5 yards. And it is Gage Cox with 2 receptions for 40 yards, 1 reception for Braylon Raines for 5 yards on the night. The Wildcats have 3 turnovers, 2 fumbles, and an interception, 5 penalties for 40 yards. Individually for the Oberlin Red Devils, Josiah Pattengall, 15 carries for 122 yards on the night. Josiah has ran in 2 touchdowns and has thrown for a touchdown tonight. So talk about dual threat. That's what you get right there, as he's run for 2 and thrown for a touchdown tonight. Caden Sowers with 5 carries for 10 yards. Gage Willoughby, 1 carry for no yards on the night. Gage Willoughby throwing the wise. He is 1 of 3 for 57 yards. Josiah Pattengall is 2 of 4 for 46 yards. An interception, does have a touchdown, though. Gage Willoughby, 2 receptions for 46 yards. Caden Sowers, 1 reception for 57 yards and a touchdown as well. Gage Willoughby with a touchdown through the air. So the Red Devils, who have wanted to run the ball pretty much all night, have actually been doing it more through the air, as they have 2 touchdowns throwing and 2 touchdowns running, and they do have that interception return for a touchdown as well. Overall, individually, Oberlin with 132 yards on the ground, 103 through the air for 235 on the night. They do have 8 penalties for 70 yards and 1 turnover, that being the interception from Josiah Pattengall. Wallace County, 20 yards rushing, 60 yards through the air for 80 yards total. They have 3 turnovers, 5 penalties for 40 yards. So the Red Devils here at the break in front 46-6. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get you scores from around the state of Kansas here at the break. Red Devils in front 44-6 here at halftime. It's Red Devil football on 101.1 KFNF.
If you are looking for better rates on loans or deposits or need some financial advice, look no further. United Northwest Federal Credit Union has been offering premier financial services to Decatur, Rollins, and Norton communities for over 75 years. With locations in Norton and Oberlin, we are ready to help you grow and prosper. Experience superior member service by joining the United Northwest Federal Credit Union family. For everything we do for you. Find us on the web at www.unwfcu.org. NCUA Insured, Equal Housing Lender.
Improve efficiency and add value to your property with a functional and well-designed workshop from the experts at VAC Construction. With a new limited-time special offer, they're making it even more affordable to get a new workshop with a power lift door that creates maximum versatility for ag machinery, aircraft, commercial operations, and more. Learn more and cash in on this offer today at VAPConstruction.com. That's VAPConstruction.com.
Throws us all kinds of surprises, but Ward Drug in Oberlin, Kansas is always there to help. From friendly delivery, diabetic supplies, and home medical equipment, to braces, crutches, and sports medical supplies, Ward Drug ensures you're always prepared. And with personalized care and expert advice, every visit feels like you're part of the family. So when life surprises you, trust Ward Drug to keep you moving forward. Visit WardDrugStore.com today or see them at 142 South Penn Avenue in Oberlin.
Bad roofs.
Say yes to AquaShield Roofing.
With over 17 years of providing A-plus services.
Roofs, siding, gutters, windows, doors, and spray foam insulation.
Plus, AquaShield Roofing offers a workmanship warranty. For your free estimate, give them a call at 785-475-2533. AquaShieldRoofing.com.
Here come the men in black trucks for all your home needs.
Red Devil Athletics. On today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field, where the Red Devils are out in front 46-6 here at the break. Get you some halftime scores from around the state of Kansas, as a lot of games at halftime as well across the state. Looking so far anyway, Hill City on top of Thunder Ridge, 30-6 at the break there. Thunder Ridge might start the season 0-3. Other scores from around the state, Phillipsburg down to Hayes TMP, 22-16. Scott City on top of Hoisington, 22-0. Colby on top of Cimarron, 14-0 at the break. Norton all over Smith Center, 28-8 there at the break. For some area scores there, Victoria on top of Osborne, 14-6. And that kind of will wrap it up for scores from around the state anyway here at the halftime break. Hoxie, last time we checked, was on top of Ellis, 32-6. That was still there in the first quarter, so I haven't seen a final score pop across there. But once again, Red Devils in front here at the break, 46-6. The Red Devils last week took an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty out of the break because they took too long coming out there. And Hoxie is in front 40-8 over Ellis there. So Ellis, who has put up 54 and 48 in their first two games, meeting up with a tough Hoxie team tonight. Now Oberlin runs out onto the field behind a standing ovation from the home crowd, and deservingly so. The Red Devils, even though they've had a couple of times where they've had those mental mistakes, you know, and that's what Coach Hardwick has talked about with us in that pregame show. He goes, we know those mental mistakes are going to happen. It's overcoming them, and the Red Devils have done that, especially, you know, that one drive where Patton Gall was able to run it in from 34 yards out. It was 3rd and 13 because of some penalties. Uh, 46-6 here with just a few seconds here before halftime as the Red Devils out in front, 46-6, and but like I was mentioning, you know, 34-13. It was third down and 13, and the Red Devils were able to get a 34-yard touchdown run on that from Josiah Patton-Gall. So that's kind of how you make up for some of those mental mistakes. You just keep on making plays, and the Red Devils have seemed to do that as well. For all my Husker football fans out there, right before the half, it is 10-10 between Nebraska and the Fighting Illini. Nebraska got out to an early 10-0 lead, but the Illini have come back with 10 straight points, and so we'll see how that second half will turn out as well. K-State, KU both playing tomorrow. KU with a big game against West Virginia coming up tomorrow, looking to rattle back after a tough couple of losses to Illinois and then to UNLV. K-State with a big game on the road in Provo, taking on BYU coming up tomorrow, as those a battle of 3-0 teams as well. So halftime continues here from Smith Memorial Field. Red Devils in front 46-6, and couldn't ask for a better night of high school football. Great weather, great field, great atmosphere. I mean, it's been a great night, and overall the Red Devils will say that as well, as they are up 46-6. We're going to take one more final break. When we come back, it's second half action. Red Devils in front 46-6 here at halftime on 101.1 KFNF.
Creative Collision in Oberlin reminds you, when involved in an accident, the insurance company will pay for towing to the shop of your choice within a reasonable distance, not the closest shop available. No law requires you to get more than one estimate. You choose the shop and authorize the repairs. Remember, your car, your choice. Creative Collision, Oberlin's choice body shop for all your collision and restoration services. Call them at 785-470-2130 or stop by at 1843 Highway 83 in Oberlin.
Hi, this is Matt Osmeyer, your Culligan dealer for Rawlins, Decatur, and Norton counties. As we begin another fall sports schedule, we want to wish the best of luck to all area athletes. Culligan of Oberlin is a proud supporter of school activities, and we want to encourage the community to come out and watch all our talented area students participate in all their school activities. And remember, if you have questions about the water in your home, call me for free water analysis at 785-475-2471. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Hi again, everybody. Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field, where we are ready to go for second half action. The Red Devils in front by 40 points, so if they get one touchdown, the game is over, and so the Red Devils will certainly hope to do that right away to start the second half, as they're in front 46-6 here at the break. Josiah Patton goal, kind of been the MVP, but I think everybody's been the MVP. It's been really a team game tonight, as you got Caden Sowers with an interception return for a touchdown, Josiah with two touchdown runs, but he's also had a throwing touchdown and has had a couple of great passes. That touchdown pass and then the pass to Willoughby with just a couple of seconds left before the halftime break that he was able to get off. So been a great team win, especially on the defensive side of the football. 20 yards rushing at the break for Wallace County, and this is a team that they would love nothing more to leave the field not throwing a pass. They want to run the football so much, and they've had to throw the pass a lot, and it's led to almost some sacks for the Red Devils. They haven't picked up one yet, but we'll see if they can maybe get one here in the second half. In front 46-6, Wallace County won the toss, chose to defer to the second half, so that's why that Oberlin touchdown right before the break is going to be really key. And it'll be Caden Sowers to tee it up and kick it off, and Sowers will send a nice high end-over-end boot that Benish will take right to the 5-yard line, reverses field there, gets out to the 10, to the 15, still on his feet before he's wrapped up and brought down to the 17-yard line by Christian Smith-Titus, who runs all the way down there and is able to bring him down. 11:53 to go here in the third quarter of play. Start of the second half. Red Devils looking for win number 2 and to go 2-1 for the first time since 2021, when they beat St. Francis 56-18. They beat a Wallace County team 18-12, but then lost that third game of the year 54-6 to Quinter. So still started 2-1, but they went 2-0 and then 0-1. The Red Devils 1-1 here, trying to pick up the second win. Gage Cox will be under center for the quarterback for the Wildcats. He takes the snap, hands it off to Benish, who goes off the right side, and he had some running room. Then it's wrapped up and pushed way back by Josiah Pattengall. And again, that Red Devil defense, especially with the run, is just slowing them down. And if you want to see a good clinic on how to stop the run, that's what the Red Devils have shown tonight, as they'll say Benish loses about a half yard, but a no gain for him, and that'll bring up second down and 10, as not technically you could say a TFL, because he did lose about a half yard, but not a complete yard. So still second and 10 on the scoreboard. 11-13 and counting. Second down and 10 for the Wildcats from their own 18. Cox under center, looking to take the snap, and Theodore Butterfield will go offsides on the defensive side of the football. And now he's holding his helmet here, and the officials have come together, and they are going to call offsides on the Red Devils, so that'll mark them up 5 yards. I think the Red Devils thought it was Wallace County that jumped first, maybe a little slight twitch or something that the officials did not see, because they were all looking around, kind of throwing their hands up in the air, didn't like the call. Second down and 5 now, after they move up 5 yards. 9th penalty for 75 yards for the Red Devils unofficially. Here's the snap. The handoff from Cox goes up the middle there and gaining a couple of yards to bring up 3rd down and short. I didn't see who was in on the carry there. Looked like it could have been Weston Gibbs on the carry for a couple of yards. And so they'll pick him up for 2. Weston Gibbs came in there as maybe the fullback. It might have been Corby as well. But Cox will go under center again. Corby directly behind him. Here's the snap. Takes the handoff once, twice now, rolling out to his right. Still rolling for his life. And he's going to be wrapped up and sacked in the backfield, coming in to wrap him up and bring him down. It's Theodore Butterfield. And just like I said right before we started the second half, the Red Devils still kind of looking for that first sack. Have had some TFLs, but not a sack. And they get one there as Butterfield wraps him up and launches him backwards for a loss of 3. And so it'll force the Wildcats to punt. And so it'll be Kemper Benish to punt it away for the Wildcats. Pat Gold will be back to receive for the Red Devils at the 35 of his own. And it's a nice high end-over-end long spinning punt that'll take a bounce at the 15, roll inside and almost down to the 10. What a punt by Kemper Benish from the 21 of his own inside the Red Devil 15 at about the 13-yard line. And even the Red Devil faithful are getting on their feet for that one. What a punt by Kemper Benish. 46-yard punt. That was something you don't see very often. He got all of it right there. Red Devil faithful also on their feet because they're throwing out free t-shirts. You can't beat a free t-shirt. 46-6, Red Devils. They score here. The ball game comes to a close. They'll try to do it. 10:05 to go. It'll be Willoughby under center of the I formation to Josiah Patton. Goal first down and 10 for the Red Devils from their own 14. Willoughby takes the snap, hands it off, and will have a false start called on the Red Devils to mark him back 5 more yards. So 10th penalty for 80 yards for the Red Devils tonight. 46-6, 10:03 to go here in the third quarter to play. Red Devils need a score to get out of here with the win here before the fourth quarter. And they'll go quick hurry up as trying to not receive a delay, a game penalty here. Willoughby takes the snap, QB run up the middle, and he's able to salvage something. I think he thought he was going to run to the right, just takes it right back up to the middle. So he gains that yardage back, plus a yard. So a pickup of 6 right there for Gage Willoughby on set first down and 15, and he takes it to first down and 9, second down and 9 after the pickup of 6. So 9:43 and counting to go in the third quarter of play. Red Devils out in front, 46-6. Need a score in the ball game. And they have to start that drive. The 14-yard line got pushed back, but now they're going back forward again. Willoughby will go under center. He's got Patton Gall at the tip of the eye. Sowers between them. Willoughby calls out the signals, takes the snap, it's a toss down to the right side, and now Patton Gall will be wrapped up and brought down right back at the original first down marker for a loss of 1, and it'll bring up third down and 10 for the Red Devils. So the Red Devils through the air tonight have been able to get some things going, just one interception, and it came in the end zone from Josiah Patton Gall. Gage Cox picked him off in the end zone there. But the Red Devils with just one turnover tonight. 46-6, 8:48 to go in the third quarter of play. Willoughby will go out of the shotgun. He's got a man on his hip. Sowers in the backfield along with him. Willoughby looking to take the snap. He gets it. Willoughby dropping back, looking to throw. Throws up a prayer. Has Caden Sowers wide open to the 40, to the 30. Still on his feet, and he's wrapped up and brought down to the 25-yard line. Gage Willoughby on the same play. He threw a touchdown pass on to start the game. Hits a streaking Caden Sowers over the middle with a huge gain, and it gives the Red Devils first down and 10 in Wildcat territory. So they officially will mark it down at the 24-yard line, a pickup of 42 yards through the air. So Caden Sowers now with 99 yards receiving. First down and 10 for the Red Devils from the Wildcat 24. Willoughby to the shotgun. He's got Patton Gall in his hip. Takes the snap, hands it off. Patton Gall trying to get the corner. He's got it at the 25 to the 20 before he's wrapped up and brought down for a nice pickup of about 4 yards there to bring up second down and 6. Looked like if he could just break loose from one tackle, he would have been into the end zone, but instead just picks up 6 yards. But hey, he'll take that for his 17th carry of the night. Second down and 6. Excuse me, just picked up 4. Second down and 6 here for the Red Devils from the Wildcat 21-yard line. Need a touchdown to win the game. 7:32 to go in the third quarter of play. Out of the shotgun, Willoughby. He's got a man on his hip. That's Patton Gall. Takes the snap. QB run. No, a handoff to Sowers. He's trying to get the in round the outside, reversing his field, and now it's actually going to be wrapped up and brought down way behind the original marker there as the marker was at the 21, and he goes back across the 25, probably the 26, and it might be a loss of 5 there for Caden Sowers, who tried to get some running room on the outside and couldn't. It'll bring up third down and 13. It's going to be a loss of 7 for Caden Sowers. So a loss of 7 on the play. Red Devils have the ball, third down and 13. From the 27 of the Wildcats. Willoughby under center. Patton Gall at the tip of the eye. Takes the snap. Hands it off. Patton Gall looking for some blocks. Trying to get the edge. He's at the 25. Cuts back there. Still on his feet at the 20. To the 15. 10. 5. Before he's finally wrecked up and brought down out of bounds. Inside the 10. 10-yard line. On 3rd and 13, he scored it last time on the play. This time, he gains enough to get the first down and more. It'll be first down and goal for the Red Devils inside the 10-yard line. So he takes it from the 27 to the 8. 19-yard gain for Patton Gall on 3rd and 13. Trying to punch it in for the Red Devils. Willoughby out of the eye again. Patton Gall at the tip. Takes the snap. It's a pitch out to him. Almost a high one. Now he gets the corner. He's at the 5. Cuts back. He dives for the end zone. Did he get in? No. They're going to say he's just down at the 1-yard line. And it'll bring up 2nd down and goal with 6:19 to go in the 3rd quarter of play. So the Red Devils will have to go one more play here to try to win the football game. 46-6 in quarter number 3. Willoughby and Sowers now talking with Coach Hardwick. I think Willoughby may be calling the play there. Hardwick nodding his head. 2nd down and goal from the 2, they said. It's only a pick of 6 there for Patton Gall. Looked like he tried to stretch the ball out across the pylon on the far side of the field, right to left. 2nd and goal, 5:46 to go. Red Devils with a football out of the I formation. Patton Gall. Now it's just a QB. The Red Devils get behind Willoughby. And oh my goodness, there is going to be a flag that has come in. And what are they going to call on the Red Devils? So they're going to say the Red Devils were too close there when they snapped the ball. And so it's going to move them back. Oh my goodness, 46-6, 2nd down and goal from the 2, and they get that call there. And so it moves them back to about the 5, I think, or just across the 5. They'll stay at the 6 or the 7. So another penalty on the Red Devils, probably sick of hearing me saying that tonight. 2nd down and goal for the Red Devils from the 7-yard line. Willoughby will go under center. I formation again. Patton Gall at the tip of the eye. Red Devils need a touchdown to win it. Takes the snap. Hands off. Patton Gall off the right side. Cuts back towards the middle. Two guys running over the left side. And he's in for the touchdown from 7 yards out. And that'll cap it off. It's a Red Devil winner. So from 7 yards out, he makes it 52-6. And the Red Devils get the win on homecoming over Wallace County, 52-6. The team they lost to last year, 54-8 on this same field. And they punished the Wallace County Wildcats tonight. So they get the win by a final score of 52-6. They start shaking hands. We'll take a quick break when we come back. Get you your final numbers here from Spank Morning Field. The Red Devils with the win before the 4th quarter. 52-6. It's Red Devil football. I'm on a 1.1 KFF.
It's costing more and more to fill up your gas tank these days. When you pay at the pump at Decatur Co-op, you pay less, and you don't have to be a member to enjoy great competitive rates. Decatur Co-op has pay at the pump in Lenora, Jennings, Oberlin, and Herndon, Kansas, along with Danbury, Nebraska. Plus, you don't have to worry about whether it's cash or credit. All prices are the same, and Decatur Co-op accepts all major credit cards and the Decatur Co-op Association card. Next time, fill up at Decatur Co-op.
Decatur County Beef wants to do business with all the local farmers. They want to buy your high-moisture corn and grain sorghum, also alfalfa and dry corn, anytime. Decatur Beef and Hoxie Feed Yard are always looking for good help. Truck drivers, plumbers, welders, and pan riders. Decatur County Beef is located just north of Oberlin on Highway 83, and Hoxie Feed Yard is just west of Hoxie. Call 785-475-2212 for Decatur County Beef, or call Scott at 785-675-9009. Give them a try. You will be glad you did.
I keep telling you, these folks are good at real healthcare, which means they're always working to improve healthcare outcomes for their patients. To that end, Decatur Health in Oberlin is part of the Get With The Guidelines, a national program to improve outcomes for stroke patients. Not only is Decatur Health a part of the GWTG program, they recently received a Bronze Award for their continued improvement and work with that program. Once again, proving the healthcare professionals at Decatur Health are passionate about your well-being. Decatur Health, where passion and healing come together.
Of Western Kansas is synonymous with giving back to the community and its members. Whether it's attending events such as wheat plot tours, serving on various boards and committees, volunteering at local county fairs, or delivering $5.5 million in cash patronage checks, Farm Credit of Western Kansas is community driven. Stop in at 1190 South Range in Colby or at one of our convenient outpost offices. Farm Credit of Western Kansas, financing ag for generations.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
FNB Bank in Oberlin, you're getting a dedicated team of professionals who prioritize your financial needs. They offer the convenience of online and telephone banking, plus debit cards that make transactions seamless. And when they say team, they mean a tradition of trust and reliability. They're here to support you long after you open your account. So when it comes to banking, be confident knowing FNB Bank will go the extra mile for you. FNB Bank in Oberlin. Visit them online at fnbbank.com.
Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Welcome back here from Smick Memorial Field. Red Devils winner tonight, 40-52-6. Take you through your scoring. I know you just heard it a few minutes ago, but take you through it all. Oberlin gets the scoring start in the first quarter with 11:44 to go. Gage Willoughby hits Caden Sowers on the first play of scrimmage for a 57-yard touchdown pass. Two-point conversion no good from Willoughby to make it 6-0. Oberlin, Josiah Patton called into the first quarter with 6:03 to go. Runs it in from 34 yards out. Two-point conversion on the Willoughby to Sowers pass is good to make it 14-0 Oberlin. Then with 11:28 to go in the second quarter of play, Josiah Pattengall finds Gage Willoughby for a 16-yard touchdown pass. The two-point conversion run by Willoughby would be good. The Red Devils would take a 22-0 lead. Caden Sowers then with a 35-yard interception return with 6:37 to go in the second quarter of play would make it 30-0. Then with 4:28 to go, Caden Sowers would get a 2-yard touchdown run in the second quarter. Two-point conversion from Sowers would be good, and it'd be 38-0 Oberlin. Then Wallace County would finally get on the scoreboard with 44.3 seconds to go, but the Travis Corby 6-yard touchdown run to make it 38-6. Josiah Pattengall then would end the half with a great pass and catch to Gage Willoughby from 30 yards to stick it at the, about the 3, and then Pattengall would finish it off with a 3-yard touchdown run to make it 46-6, and he caps the night off with another touchdown run in the third quarter to end the contest at 52-6 with a 7-yard touchdown run. So Josiah Pattengall on the night, another great night for him. 3 touchdowns running, 1 touchdown throwing, so that takes him to 10 touchdowns on the season rushing wise. He's now thrown a touchdown through the air as well. Let's take you through your individual numbers. We'll start with the Wallace County Wildcats. Travis Corby, 4 carries for 19 yards. Timber Benish, 9 carries for negative 8 yards on the night. Terrell Larson with 2 carries for 9 yards. And Gage Cox finishes the night with 2 carries for negative 1 yard. Kipper Benish throwing the football, 4 of 8 for 50 yards and an interception. Gage Cox, 1 of 2 for 10 yards. Preston Richardson with 1 reception for 10 yards. 5-yard reception for Travis Corby, 2 receptions for Gage Cox for 40 yards, and 1 reception tonight for Braylon Raines for 5 yards. For the Oberlin Red Devils individually, Josiah Pattengall on the evening finishes with 20 carries for 157 yards. He's now went over 100 in each of the past 2 games. He went over 200 last game with 342 in the end, but tonight just takes a little bit off, still has 157 yards, but does add 3 touchdowns rushing for him. Caden Sowers, 6 carries for 3 yards. Gage Willoughby, 2 carries for 6 yards on the night. Gage Willoughby throwing the football, 2 for 4 for 99 yards and a touchdown. Josiah Pattengall, 2 of 4 for 46 yards, a touchdown pass and an interception. Gage Willoughby, 2 receptions for 46 yards. Caden Sowers, 2 receptions for 99 yards on the evening. Team numbers, Oberlin finishes catches with 166 on the ground, 145 through the air. Pretty even there for 311 yards. They had one turnover, 11 penalties tonight for 85 yards. Wallace County finishes for just 19 yards rushing, a team that would love nothing more to not throw the ball at all and just leave with a ton of rushing yards. They only finished with 19 tonight, 60 through the air for a total of 79 yards. Great job of the Oberlin defense. They forced three turnovers, two fumbles, and a pick. It's five penalties for 40 yards for Wallace County here tonight. We're going to take one more final break. Once again, the final score, Oberlin 52, and Wallace County 6. We'll take a break and wrap things up for a final time here from Oberlin.
If you farm, mark your calendars for September 30th. That's the last day to make changes to your crop insurance plan. Frederickson Insurance Agency in Oberlin knows buying crop insurance can be complicated. With your current farming conditions, you need to be at the correct insurance level with your operation. So bring in your projected acres and let Frederickson Insurance Agency help you plan your insurance. Remember, the deadline is September 30th. Protect your farm. Come to Frederickson Insurance Agency, next to the Landmark Inn in downtown Oberlin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rob Hens, and we are proud to have served our community for the past 20 years. And boy, has surgical techniques changed. Gone are the days of large incisions and weeks in a cam boot. Now I can perform these surgeries through a tiny 2-millimeter incision, and you can walk out on your own 2 feet with only a Band-Aid. Your first step towards better health is to call High Plains Podiatry.
A step towards better health, High Plains Podiatry.
Red Devil Athletics on today's Best Country, 101.1 KFNF.
Wrapping things up for one more final time here from Smink Memorial Field. The Red Devils with the winner tonight, 52-6 over the Wallace County Wildcats, sends them home and drops them from the undefeated ranks. They'll now fall to 2-1, while the Red Devils improved to 2-1 for the first time since 2019 and are off to a great start, especially scoring the football as they put up over 50 points again tonight. 52, their largest number of the season, and give up just 6 points tonight to Wallace County. Had a great night defensively, great night offensively, through the air. Josiah Pattengall, you could probably give him the MVP award, and we do it, but it really felt like it was a good team win. It seemed like everybody contributed in their individual ways tonight, and it was a great night for the Red Devils as they get the win over Wallace County, 52-6. First time they have beat Wallace County in a long while, as the Red Devils had lost the previous two matchups to the Wildcats, but come back to get the win here. Their last win over the Wildcats came in 2021, 18-12, but they defeat them 52-6 tonight. So Oberlin next week will be on the road taking on St. Francis. Haven't seen a score from them. They traveled to Tribune to take on Greeley County, and you would think they would win. So St. Francis will be 3-0 most likely going into next week. Oberlin 2-1. It's going to be a hot ticket, so it's going to be a good game. That game will be going on from Santee. We'll have all the coverage starting with pregame at 6 o'clock and kickoff at 7. So the Red Devils get the win by a final score of 52-6. And that'll do it for us here from Smick Memorial Field. Great night, great homecoming win for the Red Devils. I'm Sam Knowles signing off, saying so long and good night.
The following has been a presentation of High School Athletics on 101.1 KFNF, today's Best Country. Coverage of today's game was brought to you in part by
Aqua Shield Roofing, Creative Collision, Colligan of Oberlin, Decatur Co-op, Decatur County Beef, Decatur Health, Farm Credit of Western Kansas, FNB Bank of Oberlin, Frederickson Insurance Agency, High Plains Podiatry, J.D. Skiles, Next Tech, Nutrient Ag Solutions of Oberlin, R&M Service Center, Ray's Grocery, The Bank, United Northwest Federal Credit Union, BAP Construction, and Ward Drug Store.
More sports and a look at our upcoming sports schedule, log on to our website at highplainsradio.net.